The greater good.
The greater good, precisely. Your predecessor assumed that rural policing was easy. Ended up having a nervous breakdown. And Sergeant Popwell was an exceptional officer, truly exceptional. And he had one thing you haven't got.
What's that, sir?
A great big bushy beard. Come on, let's have a mosey around.
You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
As a woman of God go, she was ungodly.
Oh, you could always convert.
Nah, man, that old-time religion and sex just don't mix. Unless, of course, you're a Catholic priest.
Sex? You looking for sex?
Well, Hopalong chiming in over there. I might be, but, Want to show a Bic glider on that burger first? For Christ's sake, it's still mooing.
I know a place not too far from here where you can get the best goddamn piece of ass in the whole goddamn world. Now, they got girls that'll do things there aren't even names for.
You know, you make it sound really enticing.
325 Beaumont. Ask for the Cunningham.
All right, thank you. Now, you loosen that headband, okay?
Hey, I want to sing till the feeling gets right.
Well, let's harmonize. We'll be dynamite.
I yodel the high notes, I've done it for years.
Good deal, old buddy, and I'll pour the beers.
There's always some lady alone at the bar.
Yeah, and you always let her know just who you are.
I know a couple gals that we can call. Damn, they'll shake the picture right off of your wall.
We're barroom buddies, and that's the best kind. Nobody fools with a buddy of mine.
I laugh when you're happy,
and I cry when you're blue.
We're barroom buddies and we're doing fine.
So pour me another, we got nothing but time.
Old chug-a-lug-a-luggin', barroom buddy of mine.
You mess with the bull and you get the horns.
What's that, huh? You got anything else to say?
We're back! It's Friday! Yeah. Ho ho! Welcome to the show. It's Nowhere Mulberry, film, television, pop culture. Come here and we'll talk about it. We'll have a little sit down, okay? That's where we talk about it. Hey, now it's too early to start that, but welcome to the show, everyone. Very excited to do the regular format. We did the book show last week. It was awesome, but I was out of my element and scared and like, hey, how do we do this? But hey, before I get into any of this film television junk, I gotta say, welcome, Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
Oh, thank you, one and all.
I'm thinking from now on, Steven's going to be late to every show, so we just introduce him later on in the show.
Yeah, why not? We'll just even do it whenever Steven's there.
Yeah.
We'll just skip him entirely. I'll just
introduce him, like 10 minutes after the show starts. Yeah. Hey, what'd you think of the book show? What'd you think how it turned out?
I thought it turned out great. The Gunslinger. I liked the music you put underneath. There were some good choices there.
Oh, thanks.
It turned out real nice.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was different. It's nice to have something different. But if people check that out, I hope you liked it. And you read the book along with us, The Dark Tower, The Gunslinger. And I hope everybody's reading the second book. If you've started or haven't, hopefully you plan on it, The Drawing of the Three. I'm a little over 100 pages into it, Bill, and I love it. It's great.
Yeah, it's an excellent book. It's such a departure from the first one.
God,
in a good way.
It so is. It's jarring. And, we're going to do a show at the end of July about this book. But I got to say, I got giddy reading the little passage where it told you what happened in the last book. You know, when we last met Roland, this happened.
Yeah, the foreword. That's great. Yeah,
I was just like, oh, I'm so excited. I was like getting like...
It makes it kind of like a serial.
Yeah, it does. Know? And, it reminded me of like getting ready for the next Star Wars chapter or something. Not
nice.
Not the prequel. I mean like getting ready for Empire Strikes Back or something.
The
like
original
that.
Trilogy.
Yeah. But I was just like, man, I'm really... And then you start reading it. It's like, holy shit. And it's like, he doesn't take long to whack you over the head, does he?
No, it's just... It's kind of shocking at first. And yet you kind of got to like settle into it.
Yeah. And I have settled into it. I love it. I just need to get more time to just read it straight through. Because you read the whole thing in like 24 hours, didn't you?
No, I read it over the week, over July 4th weekend.
About 48 hours or?
Yeah, I just didn't, once I get into a book, I have a really, really tough time putting it down.
That's
kind of how I am with everything. I get tunnel vision on stuff, whether it's a game, book,
whatever. Well, don't
whatever
apologize. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, it's something that, it's a personality trait I've always had. So, yeah, I that's all I did. July 4th weekend, I didn't turn the TV on once, didn't watch one movie, TV show, anything. I sat down, read the book, would get up, made the July 4th stuff, potato salad, burgers, stuff like that, and then just went right back to the book. That's all I did all weekend.
That's awesome. And then, when I'm done, I'm going to listen to the audiobook.
The audiobook I started listening to this week, and the reader is this guy, Frank Mueller, who M. Daddio mentioned in the chat room during our Gunslinger show. He's a guy that all the big authors wanted to read their books.
Oh, wow.
And a few years ago, he was in a I think he was hit by a car.
Oh, my God.
And he had a brain injury and never recovered and eventually died a few years later. And Stephen King and a few other writers like John Grisham and such put together this foundation called the Wave Dancer Foundation that's all for performers with disabilities to help with medical bills and such.
Well, that's great. And
but
sad.
The guy is sad, angry. The guy is so good. He you know how George Goodall read the first one that we listened to after we read it?
And I thought he was
very – he was okay, but he was monotonous. He never really had any decent voices for anybody.
Except for Zoltan.
Yeah. Whereas this guy, this Frank Mueller, is so good. He's so engaging. He has a different voice for every character that's introduced. It's like listening to a radio play. It's really, really well done. He was the choice for all the big authors to read
their
books.
Did he read the rest of the Dark Tower books that you know of?
I think he did. Except, of course, the last three, because I think he'd passed on by then.
Oh, bummer. Okay, that's really cool. So you're making me excited. When I finish the book, I'll listen to this and have it read to me.
You envision it whenever you're reading the book in a certain way, and then whenever you hear the way this guy reads it, he just opens it up so much even further with the voices and the characters, and he really makes each character his own. It's terrific.
Before we did that show, I put the audiobook to The Gunslinger on my surround system and sat on the couch and just kind of chilled there listening to it. And I guess I was kind of surprised of how much I was getting into it just by having it told to me,
Uh-huh.
The only thing is, I doubt I could listen to an entire read through, like in one sitting. You know?
Oh no!
I mean, who has
no,
that
you
much?
You got to do it in like.
I'd have to be flying
like
to China
hour
or something.
Spurts at the most.
Yeah, if you had an airline flight to like China or something, you'd probably do it. But
even then, I think you'd stop halfway through just to get a break.
Like, oh Jesus, oh my ears hurt. Like I said, Steven will be here soon. We're reading the drawing of the three, and. I hope people like these book shows because I don't think I want to stop. And the one thing I thought about, Bill, is once we're done and we've done all the books and we have that page there of the NIM Book Club, it's really timeless shows because anybody could pick up the books and read them at any time. It's not like
we're talking about any shows that have aired on TV or anything.
Right. I mean, I might have mentioned The Cake Boss somewhere in there.
But, oh, really? I don't remember.
But that doesn't matter, though. It doesn't really. It may
the
date.
Cake Boss is timeless.
Yes, that's right. The Cake Boss. Hey, they had The Cake Boss years ago, I believe. He's always been around. But I'm excited about that. But, Bill, we have a lot of voicemail that I want to get to. I'm really excited about this. It's so great to have voicemail, especially when, say, we take a week off for the 4th of July and you keep getting that voicemail, keeps coming in. You're like, oh, they love us. I can't wait to play it on the show. So our first voicemail is Adam. And I got to tell you, Adam, I believe it was our last episode, he sent a voicemail in. And he said that I don't have to play these voicemails. He's just kind of sending them to me as he listens to our Mulberry Old School shows. But I thought it was amusing and entertaining, so I decided to play it on the show. So what do you think there? Let's go ahead and check it out.
I hope he doesn't
mind. What's up, Nowhere in Mulberry? This is Adam out in California. I am listening to episode 14 of Mulberry Old School. And and Vanessa's reading a story about how like police and scientists are looking into using wasps, like non-stinging wasps, to like find cocaine and instead of like canines or whatever because it's cheaper.
Do you remember that,
and,
Bill?
Foggy plays this drop of George McFly from Back to the Future saying, "Hey, you keep your damn hands off of her." And it's probably not funny to just hear it now, but I was dying. No. I was laughing out loud, and my dad was giving me crazy looks on the job site because I was busting up, but. Yeah, and Bill said it made him spit out his coffee. And it was hilarious. But anyways, if you get time, go back, check it out. Episode 14, let me check my iPod. About 57 minutes in is when the story comes on. So anyways, you guys take it easy. And, oh, shoot, it's Tuesday. I got to go download the new episode right now. Oh my gosh. All right, anyways. Bye.
Awesome. Thanks, Adam.
Don't remember that, but... I always liked when Vanessa got to read the news because then we could goof on it.
Right. We could goof off. And I went and looked for this and I found it and I did laugh because I it's like it comes flooding back and it's hilarious. You make this weird sound kind of like, whoa, like that. Just like, what the hell happened? It's hilarious. Let's check it out.
Yeah, they discovered a tiny predatory wasp known as a Micropletus.
Hey, you, get your damn hands off her.
The hell is floating?
You just made me spit coffee on my nose. Oh, man. Oh, that was good.
Jesus, episode 14. How friggin' long is it?
Sounds old.
Is that like 4 years ago?
I think it was on AM radio.
But now we got a drop of Bill doing a spit take. Hey,
there you go.
How cool was that? All right, thank you for that, Adam. And actually, I won't pretend that we don't have another Adam voicemail. But hey, he's got good content, so that's coming up. But first, this guy didn't give his name, but let's check this out.
Hey, guys, big fan of the show. Yeah, if you want more voicemail, I suggest give out the number more, because I've been at work many times listening to the show, and it's like, all right, I'll leave a voicemail. What's the number?
We'll have to take voicemail breaks every 15 minutes.
Jason, you seem to have a lot of free time. What do you do for a living? I'm just fascinated because you're talking about all these games and you're playing online with Bill and you're doing a podcast and you Steven are tearing it up all the time.
It's quite a life I lead.
Steven's always running back from some trip. I just, you don't have to, I know you're much of
a sound like a, like a true bohemian.
What line of work are you in? Are you in construction?
Do you know Edie Brickell?
Are you wealthy? Did you have a .com? What the, where's the money going?
All of the above.
Have this wonderful lifestyle you have.
Oh, well, thank you.
Great show. Funny show. I'd like if you guys talk more about games, since the TV season is kind of lax right now.
Oh, I will, with all my free time.
Talk more games.
Yeah, since we play
anyway,
them so much.
Thanks.
You know, I got to be honest. When I first heard this voicemail, I was like, what? I was like, where does this dude, what?
And where then, does he come off?
But then I started thinking, maybe when you listen to the show and you don't know me, it sounds like I got all this free time. Hey, I'm kicking back. But I got to be honest that before this show, it's a mad scramble to get everything done. And by the time I do the show, it's like, you know, I've said it before, it's like a therapeutic release while doing the show, all of the stuff that's gone on during the week. Like, you know, I don't just get free time. You have to make the free time.
What do you do? You have all this free time.
Right.
How do you get the free time? Do you pay for it?
Actually, you have to make the free time. You know, there's a lot of stuff to do. I have a daughter. I have a wife. You have to make dinner. You have to do laundry. You have to do yard
work. Do all that
yard
while playing
work.
All the video games that you play?
Right. And that's another thing. Where did this come from that I play video games all the time? Because, Bill, what do I play, like 4 hours of video gaming a month or something?
If we're lucky, we get to play what? And I mean really lucky, like 4 hours every 2 weeks together, maybe,
if
at
that,
the most?
Yeah, and before, like, we recently finished Gears of War 2 this week, and literally, it had been, like, we didn't play it all last week, and maybe the week before we played one day, then I swear, like, a month had gone by, I didn't get to play any games, so, you know, it may seem like I'm playing a lot of games. I'm not. In fact, I never get to play. It annoys the crap out of me. I don't have time to. You know, I barely have time to do the show. But I'll tell you this much. And I appreciate the questions. Just maybe you could ask them a little bit different.
Yeah, maybe you could be a little less condescending.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Because, okay, here's what it is. The reason I make the time to do the show is because it's something I care about. It's like the same thing as I make the time to talk to you, Bill, during the week. I make the time to spend time with my daughter. I make the time to
make the donuts.
Yeah. I make time to cuddle with my wife or watch a show with her. It may seem like all I'm doing is watching TV. Honestly, most of the shows I watch, Bill, I'm watching like at 2 a.m. when I should be in bed.
Yeah.
Just so I have
watched
them.
That's the same
them.
Here. Anytime we need to do anything, we watch it either the day before or in the middle of the night.
I have to cram that shit because I don't have time to. I mean, I was gone all weekend, and it was literally like we did the book show, and then the next day, you know, I was gone all weekend. I edited that sucker in the middle of the night just because I wanted to get it out for people to hear, but it's... Man, Jason's got all this free time. He did that book show, and it's already out.
I kept telling you, we record it Thursday night. You leave Friday night, Saturday morning to go to wherever you went. And then I kept telling you, dude, they can wait. It's okay. You don't have to. You're like, no, I just want to get this thing done. I got to get it out. And it just, you know, it's just, I don't understand it. Honestly,
Jason, you seem
voicemail?
To have a lot of free time.
A little bit condescending. Just a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. But another thing is, what does it matter what I do for a living? How does that have anything to do with how the show is? Most people have very boring jobs or nothing that's interesting to talk about. The reason I do this show is because it's something I'm interested in. You know what I mean?
Shouldn't the listener be, you know... glad that we do the show, that we actually make the time to do it? Why do they need to know what we do for a living?
I think it's interesting that by listening to the show, it does sound like we have these incredible jobs. That's awesome. Because if you think about it, like, say you watch that show X-Play with that Adam Sessler. Most people think, man, that guy's got a dream job. And I'm sure he's sick of hearing that because he might have a life that involves stress and... you know, problems. He may have a depression problem or have some kind of irritable bowel syndrome. People don't know about that.
Yeah, he's always got the water shits. He's always in the bathroom.
Because he doesn't bring that shit to the table when he's talking about video games. The same reason I don't talk about a lot of personal stuff, because I can't honestly think that anyone would want to hear it, right?
Yeah, I would never want to talk about, you know, my entire day at X-Play staring at Morgan Webb's chest.
So, Bill, you know, I'm just really depressed for the show. Can I just tell you about what I've been going through? It's just like, oh.
Yeah, it's like you always hear stories about guys that go to a strip club and then they're getting a lap dance and the girl's telling them about their children.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay.
Little Joey,
thanks.
He's in pre-K. No, he's like, dude, what the? You're not supposed to have kids. I mean, come on.
What line of work are you in?
We're so, both cleaners. You know, yes. We get the call, we go out, we take care of business, and we get back.
We are cleaners. But I just want to say this much. I don't own a .com, and I am not independently wealthy. Just so you know that. I think it's cool that there's an
But we both wish we were.
Yes, but we are willing to learn.
Yes, we are.
Awesome. All right, we got a voicemail, and we'll check it out.
You seem to have a lot of free time.
Well, we make the time to do the show every week on Friday. That's why. Christ. All right, sorry about that. Let's check it out. Hey, we got a voicemail from Rick, Bill. And he
awesome.
He's done a movie review for us.
That's what we need him to do.
I'm excited.
He's awesome with that stuff.
Hey there, Mulberry. I just finished watching Inkheart for you. Yeah. Thanks for that one.
All right.
All that has returned to form, just like the good old days of Bedazzled and Monkey Bones. Yeah, awesome shit. Inkheart, if you liked Inkheart, you'll probably like other shit, like The Seeker or stuff like that. Well, basically, it's about Brendan Fraser being a super reader, apparently.
Oh. We need him in our book club, Bill.
Silver Tongue. And he reads crap and it comes to life. And if something comes into our world, then something from our world has got to go into the world that he reads from. And he read a book one day, something came into this world, and his wife went into the other world. So now he's trying to find his wife.
Oh shit, that sounds like trouble.
That's heavy stuff, man.
So he's been looking for this book.
What if he read, like, Penthouse Forum?
Him the night that she disappeared.
Nice.
But she's in this world anyway because the bad dude, Andy Serkis, has got another silver tongue, but he stutters. So he brings in freaks and weirdos. And he brought his wife back to this world, but she doesn't have her voice anymore, which is a shame because later on in the movie she's, like, yelling out to him. But he can't hear her because she's got no voice. And it's like so close and so far away. It's really annoying.
Speak
I hate
up,
this
bitch.
Movie. It's bad. But it's got Paul Bettany, your guy's favorite, Paul Bettany, who is married to Jennifer Connelly, who does a bit part in the movie as his wife. Wow. Great casting. Anyway, so freaking Brendan Fraser's daughter in the movie, she's got a silver tongue as well. Big surprise, and she saved the day because Brendan Fraser's a dumbass. This movie screenplay was done by the same dude who's doing a screenplay for Spider-Man 4. So Inkheart's going to be good. The director is Ian Sopley. He also directed the classics like the 1995 Hackers with Angelina Jolie.
Excellent.
He also did The Skeleton Key. And that one with Kevin Spacey, K-Pax, where he eats a banana without peeling it first. Wow, he must be crazy. Well, Inkheart must be for
sensing sarcasm.
People,
of all the
children,
things to remember from that horrible film.
Children.
He must be crazy.
This movie makes no sense. He's been looking at this book for 9 years, scouring every single bookshop in the world. But he didn't go to the author's place and ask him if he's got another copy.
Yeah, do you have
you'd
a transcript?
You'd probably do that at some point. Not wait 9 years and then have your daughter tell you, oh, maybe we'll go check out the friggin' author's place. Oh, yeah, good idea. I'm a stupid idiot. I should have thought of that. And in the end, the daughter saves the day by writing stuff on her arm and then reading it out. So at the beginning, Brendan Fraser could have just wrote, "And my wife comes and appears right before my eyes, and we all live happily ever after." And that would have been the end of the movie. This is dumb. Doesn't make any sense. And the computer animation was terrible. Okay, Inkheart is not worth watching. End of story. Okay, if you want me to watch something else, bring it on. I'll watch it. So all right. Keep up the show, guys. Good work. And I'm not drunk today, so that's a plus.
Well, thanks, Rick.
We like you drunk.
Hey, who the hell's hey! Steven, hey!
Disembodied voice.
Steven, how you doing?
Welcome
to the show. You missed the Rick voicemail. Yeah, he cut the tail end of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, Bill, maybe during the DVDs this week, you could have a Rick movie to watch.
Okay, absolutely.
You know, another thing about that last voicemail I was thinking about is, you know, I don't know, the way I was raised, you don't ask somebody how much money they make, right?
Right.
Or don't ask them personal things. But even the guy says...
Yeah, I know you want your privacy or whatever, but...
I know
yeah,
you want,
whatever.
But whatever, but answer my question. So what is that about?
Oh, no, it means whatever means...
I really don't care.
Yeah, tell me anyway.
I'm just fascinated.
Well, thanks for being fascinated. Now, we got another voicemail from Adam. Let's check this out.
No worry, Mulberry. What's going on? This is Adam. Hey, kind of strange. I was listening to episode 15 of Mulberry Old School, and Vanessa was out sick, so Bill was sick and reading the news in her place. But anyway,
oh,
the story came
that.
Up about Wacko Jacko, as the British media call him. And he was reading
so
a story about how those, like, two of Michael Jackson's kids aren't really his kids or something like that. And Bill said a comment like, "Man, they need good. Get those kids away from him as soon as possible," or something like that. And I just found that funny because one of the callers that called in on episode 169 was saying that, and this is what even what I told my wife, I mean, not to be really, like, rude because I don't know that guy's life, but it is a little strange, and it's like, I kind of was like, well, hey, maybe it's a good thing, so now those kids can not grow up with that man, and who knows how anybody else will raise them, but probably the chances of being raised with someone else may be better than Michael Jackson, so I don't know, kind of strange, very weird, I just kind of thought it was weird that you guys were...
Were we ahead of our time, maybe?
15, he was
I think
about
we were.
And then, like, now this comes up, and it's just like...
Let's go ahead and say
I'm
that.
I'm just really just weirded out by it, so I just thought that was kind of interesting, but anyways... Great work. Keep up the good work. See you later.
Whoa. Well, we're a couple of Nostra dumbasses, I guess I'd say.
Yes, we are.
But, hey, Bill, I remember that episode. It was just you and me. I don't think Steven could be here and Vanessa wasn't here. And we did the show anyway. And you were, like, really sick and barely had a voice. And for some reason, we were still doing the show anyway.
I remember.
Forced
I remember
Bill to
that
do the show
because at the top of the show, I was a little hoarse. By the end of the show, I had no voice.
It's like, Bill, do you feel up to doing the news? Yeah, okay, I'll do the news. It's like, all right.
I had no voice for an entire week.
It's like, why did I make you go through that, Bill? I don't know.
Well, you didn't make me do it. I did it.
Jason, you seem to have a lot of free time.
What? Now, we got one more voicemail. I have plenty of free time to play this voicemail, Bill. We got one left.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm just glad that we don't get voicemails like that every week where, it's, you know, Steven, you missed this voicemail. It's just kind of the, well, hey, you got a lot of free time to do your little show. Must be nice having a life like that. And it's just like, what? What's that about?
What do you do for a living?
I guess he finds that very humorous.
Yeah. So let's check this out.
Hey guys.
Yeah.
Long time listener, first time caller. I love
Buffalo
the show,
Bill?
But I would love to hear you guys talk about more games since you play them so much. It seems like all you ever do is play games and watch movies and TV.
Another one.
Do you work at all, or are you on like pension or welfare benefits? Or
yeah,
are
so I'm
you
on welfare.
Independently wealthy
not
somehow?
Food stamps, okay?
I would really like to know because I want to do that too. Like Steven, he's always showing up late because he's flying in from some exotic location, like Wasilla, Alaska, or Salt Lake City, Utah. He seems to really have his life together. You know, he probably makes really good money and doesn't have time to play things like games, let alone be able to watch any TV or movies.
He has a responsibility. Oh,
anyway, I really like to know these things because they're crucial for my enjoyment of the show.
Oh, okay.
I need to know how you manage your time because I would really love to find time between working and having a busy life to play more video games. But that's really all. So
yeah, Jason, tell me. I want to know.
Really love it. Thanks. Bye.
Wow, we got another one, Bill. How do we explain this to people?
That guy sounds a little familiar.
it sounds a little like serial killer in a movie disguising his voice in a way.
I think he was wearing the skin of the women he had killed earlier.
Are you talking through a rubber chicken?
Puts the lotion where?
Yeah, I know you want your privacy or whatever, but
yeah,
in the basket. Puts it in the basket.
Like I said, people don't just get free time, they make free time, okay?
Yes.
I have responsibility in my life. It may not seem like it because I don't talk about it while doing the show. Because no one wants
to
hear about
it. Because I go to the store and when I get milk, bread, eggs, I also pick up a little free time.
I'm going to start jotting down my
day. That's where you get it. Which aisle is it on?
I know. Here, the
it's
only
aisle
way
five with the bread.
The only way I'm going to prove it to this guy, Bill, is to start a Twitter account.
If you've got time to Twitter, you have extra free time.
Yeah. Where do you get the free time to do this?
Jason, you seem to have a lot of free time.
I've been reading your Twitter lately, and what are you doing?
Wait a second.
There?
This guy's got enough time to listen to your, or read your Twitter and listen to our show.
I'm fascinated.
I'm not believing that you're fascinated. Now, Bill, that was our last voicemail, but I wanted to talk about Battlefield 1943 is a new game that came out on Xbox. It came on, what do they call it, Xbox Live.
Where did you find the time to play this?
You seem to have a lot of free time.
Hey, but actually, you know what, Chucklehead? I didn't have time to play it because you couldn't play the damn thing.
Nope.
You paid $15 for the game,
yeah,
Bill.
1,200 points.
And you download it, and you're ready to play. Boom. Can't get on the server because it's a multiplayer-only game.
Yeah.
So, and actually, I've told you this before, Bill, that, Bill, I have 1 hour to play something. Let's play something real quick. And literally, it's 1 hour. Okay, I got to go, Bill. So I'll sit down, and we're waiting. How long? Like 20 minutes it's loading, like looking for server. Yeah. And it's like, dude, it's cutting into my game time, you know?
We had like two hours to play this week. So we finished Gears of War 2, and then we're like, hey, Battlefield 1943 is out. Let's try it. You know, we heard all these reports of the servers being, like, flooded. So we started up and create the party and all that, and then we press start game, searching, no servers available. Start game, searching, no servers available. This went on for what, like 45 minutes?
Yeah, and it was just like...
And then we gave up.
Well, Bill, I got to go. It was fun. But it's like, I keep seeing Electronic Arts, EA always says, hey, we didn't estimate the amount of people that were going to be playing this. They say that for every game, don't they?
That is such horseshit. Battlefield 1943 is an update to the original Battlefield 1942, one of the most popular online PC games ever.
I'm just fascinated.
For them to say they didn't expect this thing to be big when it was only $15 is horseshit.
Right.
They weren't ready in the first place, and they didn't have the servers in place to go.
So they're full of crap, basically.
They are totally full of crap.
And so what I see that it's all fixed today, but of course I don't have
any time. Oh, is it?
Yeah, I believe it is. You could just
sign on.
To
put the nail in the coffin, they release it Wednesday on Xbox Live and then Thursday on the PlayStation Network. So they don't even have the servers up by Thursday when it hits PlayStation Network. So it's even more flooded than before. So it was just really piss-poor planning on their part.
It really was. And hopefully I want to find the time to play it. Because, believe it or not, it's hard to get the time.
You seem to have a lot of free time.
All right, guys, what do you say we check out entertainment? Ah, Ah, yes. Entertainment!
What line of work are you in?
yeah.
Self-made man.
Now, Bruno, that came out this week. Steven, you going to go see that?
No. I saw the first one called Borat, so...
Did you see that in the theater, like,
yeah.
Just on cable?
No, I saw
that.
Steven doesn't want to see any more penis.
Yeah, is there a lot in Borat?
They had the penis blocked out down there.
Yeah, well, still, it was enough to make me cringe.
No, the part that made you cringe is
them rolling around
on top of each other.
Yeah, that was bad.
That is a lot to take.
It was hilarious, but it was cringe factor.
It's one of those moments that you're in the theater and you start, like, scooting down in the seat so nobody sees you.
Yeah, I keep seeing Sacha Baron Cohen as Bruno on different shows. And the Conan one was pretty uncomfortable, where he's like dancing and stuff for Conan or mm-hmm. giving him a lap dance. But I saw him just yesterday on the Today Show when he was talking to Matt Lauer. And it abruptly cut off and went to commercial.
Stays in character the whole time.
Yeah, he never breaks character, but it abruptly just cut off, went to commercial, came back. Where they were outside talking about weather and old people by then, but I was like, I wonder what happened, because they were like, go to commercial. Oh my god, we can't have this homoeroticism on this time
on our wholesome TV channel.
Yeah,
we can't have this crazy homo on the morning television.
But Bill, I saw that Claire from Heroes has her own movie, and I guess it's a teen comedy or something. What is it called?
I love you, Fidget Lady.
I Love You, Fidget Lady. That's mm-hmm. a really bad title for a movie.
I Love You, Beth Cooper, directed by Chris Columbus.
Right, I Love You, Beth Cooper. Okay, you're having a comedy and you're releasing it the same day as Bruno. I'm thinking bad idea, aren't you? Really bad?
It gives people an option to see something not so sex-crazed and deviant.
Yeah, I guess, but
well,
it's
well,
not going to make
two different audiences, don't you think?
I don't know. All the teen kids are going to go see Bruno. If
yeah,
they can't
exactly.
get in, they're going to sneak in. Trust me. Nobody wants to see that Hayden Panettiere movie.
Yeah, you have a choice between seeing a movie with Sacha Baron Cohen or a...
Well, you know you're going to laugh your ass off.
A midget blonde girl who is supposed to be playing a hot chick when she's the furthest thing from it.
Yeah, she's... I don't know.
She's too squat. She's not in proportion.
She does. She has a squatty body.
Yeah.
You're right. And on the cover, I was talking to Bill about this. The movie poster is hilarious because they added, like, Photoshop shadow under her bosom to make it look like she has more heft up there. And apparently that's supposed to get you, like, maybe I will see this movie.
Like a midget locksmith.
Yeah, be in there like a midget locksmith, Bill. How sweet would that be?
That would be a lot of fun, I think.
Hey, I found the time to go see Public Enemies by Michael Mann.
You went to
New Flick.
Was Flava Flav there?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to get to go to the movies.
You seem to have a lot of free time.
Damn it! But, yeah, I took my wife to see it. Time was allotted to see the film. I'm going to have to just start keeping a journal. Here's how I found time to see this movie.
You just use Twitter as your journal so that he
yes.
knows
okay.
exactly
He's,
what
he
you're doing.
He seems pretty busy. Okay, I'm going to let him go by this time. But I thought the Public Enemies was really cool. And except, Bill, it was done on that HD video. Oh,
I
my
hate
God.
That. I hate
I
that.
I thumb my nose to that. No, but, you know...
It's too crisp. It looks like a television show.
You know, one thing I want to know, it actually doesn't even look like that. It looks like intentional video appearance. Because I've seen movies... I believe Peter Berg films on video, too, doesn't he? Where he captures...
Yeah, but he makes it look like film.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Michael Mann intentionally makes it look like video. I guess, does he want to make it documentary style or whatever?
So he doesn't put it through filters and everything.
It really looks like handheld video camera, like you would film a birthday party or something.
Yeah, kinda, it does.
And I wouldn't say it bothers me, but it calls attention to itself. And what I want to ask Michael Mann is, do you really want me to be pulled out of the scene where I'm like, wow, this really looks a lot like video, instead mm-hmm. of watching and focusing what I'm looking at?
It doesn't look right on the big screen at all.
You would think a director... I just picture him being really stubborn about this. Like, Mike, can we please... He's like, no. This is the wave of the future. He's like, no, but I've seen other HD movies and they don't look like this. No, shut up! I'm a director! It's like, all right!
Where do you get your free time?
Yeah. Michael Mann's like, I spent a lot of time researching this.
And you seem to have a lot of free time.
It's like, oh, this guy's busting Michael Mann's balls now, too? But I got to say, Johnny Depp, he's awesome in it as Dillinger. I'm not going to be one of those people. Like, shaky cam doesn't bother me at all. And I would say, actually, there's a minimal amount of shaky cam, barely any. And the shootouts are badass. If the best part about Miami Vice, which I thought was a disaster, just like a long, boring movie, the shootout at the end is badass, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Heat, Michael Mann knows how to do a shootout, doesn't he?
Maybe he should just do an entire movie of shootouts.
That would be
awesome.
Shootout
the movie.
Shootout the movie.
I don't understand why you would make your film look where it calls attention to itself. I'm thinking that
you don't care what anybody else thinks. It's all, you know, it's like, this is my vision. This is how I see it.
I'm just fascinated.
Oh.
Shut up.
So
you're going to play that drop so much, I'm going to end up dropping the F-bomb.
You know, I can't wait to see the new Harry Potter. Every year I say, I'm going to go see this one in the theater. Never seen a single one. Haven't seen a single one in the theater.
Yeah, you did say that the last time.
The last Boogie
Bill. Something else was coming out.
There was this at first, though. I rented the last one on HD DVD, and I'm going to rent this new one on HD DVD, too. Oh, wait, I can't.
Oh, really?
Can't.
How are you going to do that one?
No, seriously, I'm going to go see this one in the theater. What is it called again? I don't even know. It's
Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Harry Potter and the something-something. But, yeah, I'm going to check that out.
And the Half-Breed Prince.
Harry Potter! I'm just going
to... share in it.
I'm going to look at a timer and see how long it takes for somebody to say that. Like that. Bill, are you excited to see that, or are you kind of like, meh, on the Harry Potter movies now?
I'm not a big Harry Potter kind of guy.
You know, I always say the Quaron one was the best one. Was that the third
but
one?
But I am a Hermione kind of guy.
Hermione. Yeah, I saw that picture everywhere where at the premiere her dress blew open. You could see her underwear.
Yeah.
And, of course, that spread all across the internet.
She's growing up quite well there.
I saw her on Letterman the other night.
I'd let her cast a spell on me.
Oh, guys, we're boring this guy, so we got to move on.
All right. Sorry.
What do you guys say we get into? What's on our TiVo? Hey! Huh? Watch a lot of shows this week, Steven.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I worked a lot.
You have a lot of free time.
Shut up! Damn it!
See, I worked a lot. Didn't have free time.
Steven, you get a pass. Free pass.
That's because Steven's always going to, like, exotic locations. Salt Lake City.
Like, Wasilla, Alaska.
I'm just fascinated.
All right, guys. Larry King was on Conan, and we all know he's a friggin' nut job, right? The guy making up stories about Sandy Koufax.
I always loved on the old days of the Stern Show, whenever they would make fun of him for saying he knew Sandy Koufax. Yet there was no way in hell he knew him.
and this thing, Conan's asking him about what will happen to Larry when he dies. He has an interesting plan. Let's check it out.
You want to be cryogenically frozen. Is that something that's real?
Yeah, for some reason, everybody around me, the family, everybody, they don't want me to do this. Like, they can tell me how I can die. Mm-hmm. It's enough. They rule me in life. They rule
Is
me
he
in death.
The Cake Boss family?
And here's why I want to be cryogenically.
Can't even say it.
Cryogenically.
I don't have faith, so it's hard for me. I can't make that leap of faith.
Cryogeriatrically.
So I don't believe there's
you've
any.
You've got answer. To have
I don't
faith.
I think when you go, you go. Okay, mm-hmm. That's fine. So if you're cremated, you're really gone. And if you're put in the ground,
wonder how
you're not
going
to have a good chance
to climb
them out. Okay? So if you're frozen, there's a chance
you're still
that 60,
dead. Your
70
frozen.
Years from today,
right.
They cure
yeah.
heart disease, right? With right. a magic pellet. They put the pellet in me.
I thought
I'm
this
back.
Had to do
so
with
that's
science.
What you do. They put a pill in your... You'll be somewhere
well,
in the freezer next
one,
to the peas. And they'll
one.
Put a pill in your mouth and, you'll, up and you'll say, next caller, Washoba Falls.
That makes absolutely no sense
you
whatsoever.
Know, if I believed in cryogenics, I would probably now freeze me. Don't wait till I'm in my late age. You know,
he's got faith in cryogenics, but no faith in a religion.
Yeah. It sounds he's just got
no sense in his head.
Hmm.
The man is crazy. Now, Bill, you and I had nothing to do this week, and we watched Great American Road Trip on NBC.
That was so bad.
It's not even a joke how bad it was. And I was like, hey, maybe if it's in HD, it'll be... No, it wasn't in HD. But let me... Steven, what this is you take some families, put them in RVs all around the country, and they go to different locations all around the world, and they compete with each other. They don't
but
race.
It's not a race.
It's not a race. They just compete in little games.
They're going to the Grand Canyon, the first one to the bottom.
No, nothing like that. No racing. No. That would be probably interesting.
They hop in their RVs, and they get told where they're going. They can take as long as they need to get there. Once they get there, there's then a competition. But
that's
not
the race part
race.
Or whatever.
And what do they win in the competition, Bill?
I can't even remember. It was honestly so lame that I was just like,
Win like privileges or something.
Like going to a Boy Scouts thing, you know?
And what
you get to empty your shitter tonight. Out. Congratulations.
And what about this? Okay, every reality show has somebody. Yeah, we're from New York. We're from Brooklyn. And we're loud and obnoxious, and we got to keep mentioning where we're from five times every hour.
Got blonde hair. He looks like Eddie Money, and he's got one of those creepy blonde man mustaches.
Yeah, I thought this guy that we're talking about, he looked like Richie Sambora from Bon Jovi to me.
No, he looked like Eddie Money. Or a really old Bon Jovi.
He's really old Richie Sambuca. But let's go ahead and check this out.
Sambuca.
When the lady from New York, she lets everybody know she's from New York. Let's check this out.
Now.
Wait. Time out. I'm from New York City, and we cheat. Oh. We came here, we didn't cheat. He had his shirt off.
Okay. Before you get excited, the rule was you cannot stick anything inside your clothing.
Yeah.
He had his shirt out
Chicago,
like this.
Baby.
He didn't shove it inside. He had it outside.
She was saying another family
was
cheating
really
and they're stupid
strategy.
Thing. I'm sorry. That's just not.
Just because we didn't tell you our strategy.
No, I apologize. That's fine, but I really don't appreciate being called a cheater. We would never do that.
Okay. Hey.
Yes. I'm from New York. I'm just that way.
Look at the presidents. We all.
We apologize. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Not in front of our leaders.
When I'm wrong, I apologize.
Accepted.
Accepted. We're good.
I got a headache.
To be honest, my husband said apology accepted. It didn't mean anything to me. I was still really mad. It's just about the way you say things, and there's a time and a place, and have a little class.
Wow. So, Bill.
I'm so angry.
How can that show? I doubt it'll even be on next week. I mean,
no,
who
you
the
know
hell?
What? I give it two. Well, you know what? Since it's already all been shot and it's summer and they don't really care, it'll play through, but it'll never be back again.
If this was in HD and they're showing, like, different national monuments or something, that would be really cool, but it's in shitty HD. And it's just people with a bunch of whining kids, and then they go do little sack races in a park or something. Like, woo.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's retarded. So
the main challenge to be eliminated, they put somebody in one of those.
Oh yeah, they
big
eliminate a family every
balls
week.
That you normally see them in New Zealand where they fill them with water and then the person gets in and then it goes downhill. But in this, you had to roll them through all these St. Louis arches in a certain way, in a certain amount of time. And whoever took the longest got eliminated. It was quite possibly one of the most uninteresting reality challenges I've ever seen in my life.
I'm going to say they're two for two with the chopping block and now this.
Oh, yeah.
They can't even
NBC
make a reality
is
show.
Not good.
You know what they need? They need to get some Kathy Griffin on NBC. Because she was on her show, The D-List, this week, and she had Betty White on there, Stephen. Already, your ears perk up at that, don't they?
Betty White, you know, because
she's hot.
Stone Fox, right? Now
she was great on the...
she was great in Lake Placid.
Yeah.
So, oh, my God, yeah.
Now, I got to say this, that in this clip, she says some bad words, and they edit it, but they do a really good job of editing it. And I'm going to say I'm pretty jealous.
Jason style editing?
I'm going to say better, and I'm jealous. Let's check it out, where she's doing the – Betty White's sitting there with her friend that's probably around the same age as her. You know, Betty White, she's up there in age, and they're having a nice meal. And then here comes loud-ass Kathy Griffin with her loud laughing friend, and they're going to play a game of Dirty Password with these two old ladies, and they're just kind of like, what the hell is going on here? And
that's clever.
It's not staged at all. Let's check it out.
The Betty White special guest edition of Password. So
don't think you passed the audition.
I know. All right, and go ahead. Try to get her to guess the word.
The password is gynecologist.
Vagina.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
I did write. That's not the word. That is not the word.
Oh,
no, it might be. I'm appalled. How could you embarrass me?
Kathy, bless her dear heart, can bastardize almost anything with her naughty words. But I rise above that and I just...
Oh, God.
She's so funny, an old woman that swears. That's hilarious.
Yay!
What did she say?
The word gynecologist is not that shocking. You'd think I said pussy or seriously. Like, everyone was acting like gynecologist was like a joke.
That's some excellent beeping, isn't it?
You know, people aren't gynecologists. Yeah. They're doctors. They go to school and everything.
I admire it because you know what she's saying at the same time that it's bleeped.
Yeah, it's good. It's classy.
Yeah, very classy. As almost as, you know, Bill, if you had this scenario, this is what NBC needs. Okay, picture this. Okay, a house of girls.
Okay, you got me there.
Early 20s.
All right, sold excellent. Again.
One of them's a lesbian, the rest are straight, but they're all luscious.
Mmm.
And the
wait a second, I throw in two lesbians.
Okay, two, but
and nobody knows which ones are which.
Right, and the whole idea is to pass out wine coolers every evening.
Seagrams!
And you get the chick drunk until they have a nice time, right? And the ratings would be through the roof! Because this week on The Real World...
See who makes out with who.
This week on The Real World, and these girls are both really cute. And
how far they take it. That's the important thing.
They start out just like drinking, and they're so obviously drunk in their little whatever diary session. Like, I had a good time. And they start just kind of doing the holding on each other. Then they're giving each other little light pecks on the cheek. Then they're full out making out. Then they're in bed together. I'm going to say... The Real World on MTV has totally redeemed itself, Steven. Let's check this out.
We had a fabulous night.
Do you love it?
Girls' night.
They're so
girls'
drunk,
night.
Man.
Okay, go.
Don't push
me. I love Aiyah.
And I love Emily.
Drunk chicks.
Aiyah.
I love her too much for words.
Lesbian.
Nice.
That's not the proper name.
I have a big crush on Aiyah. I have a crush on Emily.
Uh-oh. Because
we love each other.
It's getting serious here.
Get over here.
And then the next day, there's this.
This morning, I wake up and realize what had happened last night. I've never been as intimate with a woman as much as I was with Emily last night.
I love how there's always, you wake up and they say, oh my God, what did I do last night? You know, it's on television.
Excuse me for a second while I go to the bathroom real quick. I'm sorry. Oh.
And you know what? I didn't have that part on the clip where she tells her friend that, like, it's the first time I've ever made out with a girl. And she's like, not for me, though. She's
like, oh, you little slut.
She's like, I've been with a lot of girls or whatever.
Wow. I'm going to have to tune in this year.
It's like, yeah, okay. But I was just like watching that clip. I was like, that was awesome. If they just turned
that was awesome.
That was awesome.
I mean, just think, Steven, you're an extremely hot lesbian and you just get straight girls drunk. Hey, it's a good life, right?
What would they call it? What would they call it?
And you seem to have a lot of free time
to come up with these scenarios. I don't know. What would they call it?
Come up with a name for the show.
Here's what I would call it. The Elixir.
The Elixir?
And it would be sponsored by a wine cooler brand.
Oh, see, that would work. The Elixir.
Oh! Hey!
Oh, what am I saying here?
Bill had a spit take. good times. Good times and great wine. I'm not too much into the drunk chick laugh, though.
You know? That's a little annoying. And then, of course, the bad part is when they throw up on you afterwards.
Yeah. That's like, you don't want to see that late night rush to the bathroom. What are they doing? Oh, they didn't quite make it to the bathroom. This isn't good for television. Yeah.
There goes the vodka and Red Bull.
Yeah. There goes a little bit of that. 5-day energy. What is it? 5-hour energy.
5-hour energy.
5-day energy.
Wow.
What do you do?
5-day energy is actually called methamphetamine.
Yeah. I'm coming down.
I like mixing my meth with my Red Bull.
Yeah.
Now, guys, Big Brother's back. What do you say we take a break and we come back and we talk about Big Brother? I think it's going to be awesome.
I need to go tweak.
Awesome. All right, be right back, everyone.
You seem to have a lot of free time.
And action.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Again, please. Again? Again.
Art thou bored?
Yeah.
Step into a Slim Jim. Turn to the spice. That baby juicy taste. You know, excitement. Step into a Slim Jim.
Nick at Night brings you the continuing story of the world's strangest love triangle, Carol.
What Wilbur's trying to say is that his horse is as important as his wife.
Wilbur.
That's lovely, dear, but you're hiding Willie David.
And Mr. Ed.
I'm your horse, not your wife.
Every night filled with conflict.
Every time I need you, you're out with Mr. Ed.
Every night packed with human drama.
Choose between us.
Will Wilbur ever decide? Don't miss a single episode in the continuing story of Mr. Ed.
Think fast! Let's do it!
A is for apple.
J is for Jacks.
Cinnamon crunchy Apple Jacks. It's the one that's apple-y sweet.
Apple Jacks is cool to eat.
We got some sweet moves with Apple Jacks. Real apples and cinnamon make Kellogg's Apple Jacks an apple-y sweet part of a complete breakfast.
Applejacks. He's dead. He's a mobilizer. Got a mega core. Magnetizer. Rocket boosted power pack. He's a Lego maniac. Got a radical shield protector on his awesome vector attack. He's faced out. That's a fact. He's a Lego maniac. He's a galactic equalizer.
Lego M-tron collection. Each set sold separately from Lego.
Introducing Hotkeys keyboard synthesizer.
Cool. You've been taking lessons? Not necessary. It's Hotkeys.
The music's built in. Mix it up thousands of different ways. Wah-wah joystick. Change the tone and tempo and make your own special music. Batteries not included.
Cool.
Hotkeys keyboard synthesizer. New from Tyco. No lessons required.
1, 2, 3. Blast-O-Matic.
Give it a shot. Blast-O-Matic. It's hot, hot, hot.
Nerf. Blast-O-Matic.
3 times the fun.
Blast-O-Matic.
Shoot 3 balls instead of one.
Nerf. Blast-O-Matic. Nerf. Blast-O-Matic.
Give it a shot. Blast-O-Matic. It's hot, hot, hot.
Nerf. Blast-O-Matic.
Give it a shot.
Shoots 3 balls, no reloading.
Nerf. Blast-O-Matic.
Thunder Jet's fruit snacks are taking off. Super Fruity F-16s, F-14 Tomcats, SR-71 spy planes, MiG-27s, and stealth bombers with a sonic boom of real fruit taste. Thunder Jets, the fruit snack that goes fast.
Out of the wild blue yonder comes Super Bright Jets. They're intense, they're cool, and they're free in marked boxes of Thunder Jets.
It's the Hands Down Championship. If you've got the fastest hands around, you can be a winner at Hands Down.
Hands Down, hands down. Be fast, be your last. Hands
down.
If your numbers match, be the first to slam down your hand.
But look out for the blob.
No!
We gotta see our last hands down.
It's a new age of combat.
Human beings, genetically engineered to be the best fighters in history.
Two champions.
It isn't over until someone wins.
At war with each other.
Achilles, I have already killed you.
Two invincible men.
Let's finish it, Alexander, here now.
The ultimate killing machines.
I'm gonna get in this thing! And I'm gonna kick your...
The battle's over!
Not for me.
Robot Jocks.
Case 207. Outside forces are moving into your sector. You and your partner use the spy tech communicators to maintain radio contact.
Moving heavy equipment.
With the spy tech periscope, you've got your eye on the situation.
I'm going in.
You go deep undercover to get it on film. With the spy tech hidden camera, it takes pictures around corners.
Let's look around. They have spy tech.
They on to us?
Spy tech. High-tech equipment that works. Each sold separately. New from Tyco.
Our solar system is made up of 9 planets. Mercury.
Now from Chips Ahoy, there's new Sprinkle Chips Ahoy. With lots of chocolate chips and magical colored sprinkles, there's a party in every bite.
Any questions?
Could you explain that again?
Certainly. Our solar system.
New Sprinkle Chips Ahoy. A party in every bite.
Uh-oh, a dirty diaper.
Baby, uh-oh, there she goes.
I give her a bottle and then.
Baby, uh-oh, there she goes. Needs her diaper changed again.
Baby, uh-oh, gets her diapers dirty. You rinse them clean with warm water.
All clean. Looks like diaper rash. I'll make it better.
Baby, uh-oh, there she goes.
Looks like her diaper's just wet.
Baby, uh-oh, I love her so.
Baby, uh-oh, comes with her own bottle and 2 color change diapers from Hasbro.
Wow, Mom got us a Chia pack.
Chia.
How does it work?
It's fun and easy.
Yeah, just soak your Chia pet, spread the seeds, add water, and watch it grow.
Chia.
Excellent.
Grow your Chia teddy bears, puppies, kittens, lambs, bulls, even Chia trees to keep your pets company.
Nice Chia pet.
Chia pets and Chia trees are available at Thrifty, Long, Save-On, and Payless. Makes a perfect gift.
All right, we are back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm very excited to talk about Big Brother. Hey. But before we do, Steven, are you still reading The Gunslinger?
Yes.
Are you getting into it? When you're done, I really hope that you get to do the next show with us. I know it's just because we're doing it on Thursday instead of Friday. It kind of screwed everything up. But I'm really hoping you make the next show. So as soon as you're done, get started on the second book, okay?
I just got my bookshelves undone at the house and started unpacking my books and found my original Gunslinger. And
nice. Now, is this before the revised edition?
Yes, yes.
Oh, interesting.
So I've got both copies now.
Awesome.
And so, the Drawing of the Three is a revised copy too as well, right?
I don't know.
No.
Just the first one?
I don't believe so.
Just the first one. Yeah.
Okay. Because I saw the second one. I thought I read that it was revised, but...
Yeah, the version
I think it might have like a new intro, but I don't think the book itself is revised.
See, I have the bigger size paperback I can show you that has pictures in it, like paintings. Those are really cool.
Mm-hmm. That's what I have.
Okay. But I've also seen.
Yeah, so you weren't so special.
Oh man, I thought I was.
And
so
I actually, have
Jason,
the.
You have a lot of free time.
The hardbacks. From two,
first
from
of all,
two
dude,
on.
I'm reading on the crapper. I don't have free time. It's the only quiet place in the house, okay?
I've got the hardbacks from two on. I don't have the first
so
one.
Even though you're reading, you're actually doing something else at the same time. So that's how you get your time.
That's right, Bill. I'm very productive like that.
Your bowels are very productive.
You know what? I'm editing the show. I'm eating my meals at the computer, okay? I'm not like, hey, I'm going to kick back for an hour, take a nap, then I'm going to come and edit the show. So anyway, I'm starting to sound defensive, Bill, so I need to stop that. Now, Bill, Big Brother is back.
Yes, it is. And of course, I'm excited. I'm so excited.
They always start out with...
I just can't hide it.
Why do they do that, Bill? Why do they do that tradition of showing people get their key, like they're surprised?
Oh, my God. It's like, yeah, the camera just happens to be in the room whenever they find the key. Wow.
The one guy was playing football out in the yard, and he's like, Hike, and the guy has the key, and he's like, oh, I'm in the Big Brother. Yeah, okay.
The Big Brother key just came out your ass?
Like, that really happened. Come on. We're not stupid.
That hurts.
And they give them some stupid line to say about how they're head and shoulders above the crowd or some shit like that. I don't know. It's just painful.
And then they hold up a bottle of Head and Shoulders
and
wink.
You know when they get in the Big Brother house? When I say your name, you can go in the Big Brother house. And they walk in and they're all kind of like looking around quietly. Then they're like, woo, Big Brother! You know that they tell them that, like, okay, when you get in the house, just be excited and walk around.
Just soak it all in at first,
yeah,
and then...
run around like a moron and go, woo! Because that's what they do, and it's just so, like, embarrassing.
You'll get extra money in your per diem if you do that.
Yeah, it's embarrassing how stupid they are. But, of course, they do the thing where they sit around and they drink champagne, and, you know, it's... Every year, Bill, it's so easy to pick out the gay guy. They don't even try to make it.
Yeah, is it?
And if I was in the Big Brother house and when the guy's like, well, I'm a homosexual, I just would want to be the guy to go, no!
Of all the guys here, I didn't expect
no
you.
No way, dude.
You're
so butch.
And, I mean,
I thought that you were the one that, like, drank pounders of Coors and smashed them on his head.
That's what
there's this one. There's also, this year they have a geek guy. He's a little geek. And, in fact, they have cliques. That's the little twist this year. They have popular, they have jocks, they have brains, and they have...
dorks.
Freaks, geeks, jocks, and athletes.
Right, but they don't
call it popular.
No, it's jocks
offbeat.
And preppies, basically.
Popular, offbeat, brains, and athletes.
Right, so it's actually the popular crowd, you know, like the preppies. Then it's the jocks, the athletes. Then it's the nerds or the geeks, the smart people.
Nerds!
One girl, she's a chemist. She's got a PhD, and she's just like, oh, I'm just a lab assistant. And she wants
she's
to come
like
off
a, a brain person, like a neuroscientist.
And I think
I'm like a brain person.
And she's really cute, Bill, I think.
Yes, I thought she was cute. And she's a little
yes,
introverted. But near the end of the night last night, she really started to shake her groove thing.
Like, compare her to the girl with the ginormous cans.
And it's so funny that girl with the ginormous cans, huge fake boobs, has absolutely no personality.
She has nothing to say.
She's a wallflower. And it's so funny because she expects everyone to be like, fawning over her.
Right.
So I guess
it never happens every season.
She doesn't have to be a person.
They always cast that person every season, like the Jen that one season. They always cast the girl who did some kind of modeling. I'm a bikini model or whatever. And you see every season how the other women are like, ew, I hate her. I just hate her or whatever. But they have the tattoo girl also, Lydia. She's an effects artist, which is really cool. But she's got... way too many tattoos. It looks like she has a tattoo on a whim. Like, oh, that's cute. I'm going to have a tattoo to my body permanently.
When it gets to the point where you decide to put a gigantic freaking tattoo on your chest, something is wrong in your head.
Well, when it gets to the point where you tattoo a sock monkey on your arm. I mean, come on.
Really bad tattoo of Marilyn Monroe.
Yes. Then it's just like you got too much free time. Just get a friggin' doodle pad, okay? You don't have to tattoo it on your body. Or just
or
get
a misquoted
Bic
line from King off Lear on your shoulder.
Yeah. Like Megan Fox. She has a...
Oh, that's so funny. We will all laugh at the gilded butterflies. Oh, good try, hon.
Yeah, nice try. Maybe you shouldn't have done it yourself while reaching back behind. Like, oh, I can't.
Aren't
quite...
you unique?
But anyway, she seems fine or whatever. It's just when you see someone like that, you immediately have in your mind like, oh, somebody really wants some attention, or look at me, everybody. I'm so different and crazy.
Exactly. And- yeah, that's the thing. It's so obvious when a person's covered in tattoos like that, they have a self-esteem problem.
My favorite is the guy who, hey, I'm a teacher, fifth grade teacher. And everyone's like, oh, well, cool. But I'm also a DJ at night. And they're like, oh.
He pulls that thing in one of the online videos of the introduction. He goes, yeah, I'm a teacher, and at night I'm DJ Mingle Mix. And I'm like, oh, my God.
It's like,
DJ douchebag.
You know, you make it sound really enticing.
Yikes. So
they show him with, like, the headphones on with one ear on, one ear off, and he's messing around with the turntable.
But then the fifth grade teacher trying to pick up me some jailbait at night.
Yeah.
Bill, they also have the muscle bound mixed martial arts guys, like, hey, I'm into mixed martial arts over here.
Let me show you how to grapple. Come here.
Thank God he doesn't speak Italian though. He's not like from Brooklyn. He's just like a
We're gonna make him Brooklyn.
He seems to be a total hey over here. Now he seems to be a nice guy. He's just muscle bound. You know what's funny? At one point someone enters the house that make his muscles look tiny.
Yeah, that was the best. It was groan-inducing, but that was hilarious.
And the guy's just kind of like looking down his biceps like, damn, I need to work out, yo.
I feel so inadequate.
But I'm thinking like Jesse from last season. He's back in the house. And
one of the dumbest twists ever.
Yeah, they have former contestants come on the show. And they can be in one of the groups, like a brain, a jock, or whatever. And they have Jessica from the season with America's Player, who I thought was really cute. And I was like, oh, get her in there. But you also had Brian, who kind of got the shaft. And it would have been nice to see him.
I watched him on the live feed. He was the first one out the year that Jerry was there. Was that the same year as Jesse?
Yeah.
I thought he was hilarious, but he was just too conniving. I was really hoping he would go
in. He started way too early. And then they had Cowboy from season 5. Cowboy up.
I knew it. I knew they would have that numbskull.
That poor guy has tried to get in the house twice now on the special things. It's like, well, now I'll try again a third time if I get the chance. And it's like, I don't want to see this guy in the house. But when Jesse gets in there, I was like, no! I have to look at this douche some more? And he's like, I'm back and bigger than ever. He's been like lifting more weight, so his muscles are even bigger. But
yeah, what did he say? Now I've added 40 pounds of muscle.
Yeah, and he like lifts up his friggin' tree trunk arm, and it's like, dude, like the mixed martial arts guys, those guys like stretch and get lean to have strength to fight and shit, right? Yeah.
They have endurance. They have stamina. The whole point of that is, you know, exactly.
This guy, you could go, and you go, oh, and you just fall over.
He probably has absolutely no endurance whatsoever. If he had to like run a quarter mile, he'd probably be sucking wind.
But the funniest thing is how he walks around without a shirt off all the time, and he's just like, flexing all the time.
And he's got that that bodybuilder gait to his walk. Like his muscles are too big, so it looks like he has a corn cob up his ass.
Yeah, his arms
are. He's flexed too much.
Yeah,
he's trying
to flex all the time.
But the thing is, he talks about, you know, I hear what people say as I walk by, but you know what? I don't let it get me down or whatever. It's like, no, they're just telling you the truth, dude. You look like a freak.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, cut down on the friggin' weightlifting. Or
cut
just
down on the roids, dude.
Yeah. Also, you know, the Big Brother After Dark comes on, Showtime. He's sitting there telling the mixed martial arts guy, yeah, I lift so-and-so, and I added this much inch to my bike. It's like, is that all this guy can talk about?
Well, that's all he talked about the last season.
It's like nothing. Why did he want back in the Big Brother house?
So he could talk more about how great his biceps and his
show his physique.
Jessica, she said, you know, I knew the mistakes I made last time. I started a relationship. It should have been more about the money or whatever. And I won't hold it against her that she dated America's Player. But
that guy's such an asshole.
He's so douchey. And
he would always wear those T-shirts, those, like, clever T-shirts. Like, with the one with the dinosaur on it that said, never forget, or, you know, those kind,
yeah,
those
you're
kind
right.
that you would get it, like, that the T-shirt places that advertise on the side of Fark or something. You know, just, ugh.
He's, God, what the hell did she see in him? I don't know.
Snorg. That was the place. Snork Tease.
Ah, oh, yes. Miss
oh, my God.
Music.
If that song comes back.
Yeah, they got to. Guess what, America? We have a new player. So anyway, let's cut to when they're talking to everybody. And this chick, the young, she's 24 years old. And she goes, I'm 18 years old.
Dumbest, quite possibly the dumbest move ever.
She's like, I wanted everyone to think I was young and stupid so they wouldn't think I was a threat. Yeah,
yes,
good plan.
Lie immediately. As soon as you get in the house, lie.
She's like, I don't know why I'm with the athletes. It turns out she's a champion Taekwondo expert, but she's like, I've done a little bit of Taekwondo. It's like, just what? Why are you withholding all this information? You're stupid. These people are freaking morons. They don't watch the show or something, but let's go ahead and check this out where the gay guy pretty much talks to us about all the people. You know, Steven?
Right.
I am Blackanese. I'm Blasian, if you will.
What?
Half black, half Japanese.
I'm Natalie. I'm 18. I just graduated.
Oh, my God.
What? Wow.
I think you're the youngest contestant.
That's so exciting.
I am not going to let the house get snow. I'm 24 because I want people to think I'm a young, naive girl.
Natalie, we can talk later about your real age, okay?
Yeah, good strategy.
I was like, 18, you look like you're 25. Like,
the gay guy doesn't believe it for a second.
Something's wrong.
I'm Laura. I am 21, and I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. Georgia Peach. Bless my heart.
Nobody talks like that.
Now, can we get to your boobs?
Laura is boob city. Sorry, just vomiting in my mouth.
Wow. The gays don't like breasts,
do they?
That must
be terrible to be gay.
You don't like breasts?
I mean, come on, boobs, man.
It's like, oh, I'm throwing up in my mouth. It's like, what? That does not compute, dude.
they're full of nourishment, man. Come on.
It's like, Bill, did you see this chick's breasts? Oh, spit take. But, yeah, you know, it's like you look at her, it's like big, stacked.
Yeah.
Lady,
that's really all
chick.
You see are those gigantic.
And she goes,
talk about your fake boobs.
And she goes, I'm 21. I'm like, what? Oh my God. She's
my
a friggin' child.
She looks like 30, though.
Yeah, she
honestly.
Does not look like she's 21. But that girl, why she goes, I'm 18 years old. And they're like, oh my God. It's like, this is the stupidest lie I've
ever
heard. And
she doesn't look anything like 18.
I
can't wait to
see. Can we talk
18,
about
she's
really?
Been rode hard and put away wet a bunch of times.
But how genius is the gay guy? Is like, we'll talk about real age in a bit, okay? And it's like, I don't believe that for a second. She's like, she looks like she's 25 and she's really 24. It's like, man, that guy's good. That guy's good at being gay. Now, so we will check out more
funny?
Big Brother.
Last night I'm watching the feed and Lydia, the tattoo girl, and Jordan.
Lydia, the tattooed lady?
Yeah. Lydia,
I was trying not to go.
And Jordan, the blonde with the other fake boobs.
And you know what, Bill? I misjudged her, I think, early on. Because
yeah.
She's like, I'm from North Carolina. I was like, oh, Jesus. But she seemed like she's just trying to have fun in there. And that's what you should do.
Yeah, exactly. I really enjoyed watching her on the feed.
Which
but,
one is Lydia?
She got in this slinky negligee.
Lydia?
Yeah, they're getting all dressed up in these negligees and everything for the After Dark feed. And they're like putting makeup on in the mirror, and the gay guy's back there watching them. And he goes, that's the only thing I wish I could do is look fabulous like you guys. I can't, you know, guys can't do that. I just want to get so fabulous like you guys are. It's just like, whoa, dude.
It's like, wow, he
seriously?
Really is gay.
Sorry, just bombing in my mouth.
Yeah.
But also, though, one of the chicks, the black chick, I guess she's the only one because the Taekwondo expert seems like she's a mix. You know, she's very light-skinned or kind of olive-skinned.
Yeah, she is.
But she was like, look at those sluts or whatever. It's just so funny how immediately – I don't know why women are like this. Just automatically just –
yeah,
I
very catty.
You got blonde hair. I hate you. I wish you would die or something.
Well, what's weird is they put her on the the brain team, and she doesn't seem particularly brainy.
I think she just said, I got straight A's, I got a 4.0 or something like that.
Oh. But
is that wrong to call someone a mix?
I am Blackanese, no. I'm Blasian, if you will.
Or Blasian, how's that?
Blasian? What?
That's he much made up his own term.
Blackanese?
I won't repeat what Credo posted in the chat room.
I don't want to know.
Take Japan and then add the word that they would call them.
Hey, Credo.
Yes. You seem to have a lot of free time.
All right.
I know what he's got.
Bill, Jesus. I want to talk about bullshit.
Okay, let's talk about it. Let's talk about bullshit. What do you got to say, Steven?
But there's a show by Penn and Teller called Bullshit, and they talk about the bullshit about everything. And this week they talked about violence in video games, or how it makes children violent. And I thought it was very entertaining and really well done.
It was a poignant episode, especially right at the end.
Yeah, it was.
How did you have time to watch it?
Damn it! It's a DVR! I swear to God, I watched this episode like at 2:30 a.m., Stephen. All right. I should have been in bed. But let's go ahead and check this out.
Oh, and you're free time.
Damn it!
There are going to be a lot of disturbing images on this show. Some of you squeamish will want to turn away before this next one.
Violent video games cause increases in aggressive thoughts and behaviors.
Oh, I didn't think it would be that bad. Sorry. Hillary Clinton's got her pantsuit in a bunch over video game violence. And so do a lot of other people, thanks to a wave of crime sprees by teens supposedly copycatting the fantasy violence in the games they play. Welcome to the war on video games. We have met the enemy, and he is we.
Jack Thompson, attorney, video game industry's worst nightmare.
Thompson was a asshole. Public interest lawyer in Florida. And these days, he's got a hard-on for fantasy violence in video games.
Well, I've said that Grand Theft Auto is the worst assault on children since polio.
And you're basing that tidbit of reckless hyperbole on...
There's a substantial body of now scientific, medical,
now scientific.
Law enforcement, and other data that shows that there's a causal link between teens playing violent video games and increased aggression by teens.
Causal link. Isn't that Lancelot Link, Secret Chimp's twin brother?
Thus far, there's been absolutely no hard evidence to prove that violent video games cause any kind of teen violence or outbursts or adverse antisocial behavior. Lawrence Walters, constitutional attorney, state of Florida. Video game violence is the new demon du jour. It's something that the family values groups can sink their teeth into and point to as a scapegoat, as a cause of teen violence, teen angst, you know, things that have been around forever.
I'm Dr. Lawrence Kuttner.
And I'm Dr. Cheryl Olson.
We're co-directors of the Center for Mental Health and Media at Massachusetts General Hospital and Harvard Medical School.
We also wrote a book about violent video games called Grand Theft Childhood. One of the difficulties in linking school shootings to violent video games is that playing violent video games is a normal activity nowadays. People will research, you know, some awful violent crime and they'll say, oh, we found an Xbox in the house, or we found Grand Theft Auto 4. But you probably also found Crest toothpaste and Twinkies. A lot of things you found because they're common things.
Yet oddly enough, no one's blaming the fucking toothpaste.
They had this guy at one of those gamer type things, you know, where everybody plays first person shooters. He passes out flyers about his triangle.
No, that was E for All. That was one of those video game shows. Yeah, and he's such a weird dude.
And he was basically, you know, video games are violent. And it leads to school shootings and stuff like that.
He had the fire triangle.
Yeah, the fire triangle,
which was three things added together create a school shooting, and that was violent video games, troubled teen, and there was one more. Crap!
And guns? I don't know.
Yeah, okay, guns, yeah.
But Penn went through each one and, like, the most violent cases of shootings and stuff, and how one part of the guy's triangle was missing from each one, and it didn't make any sense, and how there had been shootings like this before even video games existed.
Yeah, and it just ends up with one thing that says troubled.
Yeah.
It's like that's the key here. It's not video troubled games. Teen. It's that these kids are already messed up in the head.
But the coolest thing about the whole thing, I thought, is when he goes into how many kids are injured every year voluntarily and then, in fact, encouraged to play this game, and they suffer from broken bones, they heat exhaustion,
football.
Some children die, yeah. And it's football, an actual physical contact sport.
Well, and, not just football, but high school sports in general,
right?
Are more is responsible for more deaths than school shootings or video games or right. anything.
You talk about aggression in football. Right. Okay.
I strongly believe that it's all – I mean, I really do believe it's all bullshit. No bones about it.
It totally is. And you know what? People say the problem is parents and everything. I can't even say it's the parents. I say it's the kids first off. They're all already obviously troubled. And it has no – you know, parents aren't the ones buying these games for the kids. It's the it's the kids buying them, and they go to a family.
Sometimes it's the parents, and they just don't know what it is. But
yeah, they go to a family, a 9-year-old boy that loves playing his Call of Duty and everything, and they talk to his mom and they say, "Listen, I have no problem with him playing these games because he's 9 years old. He's got a steady head on his shoulders, and he knows it's fantasy.
Yeah, he knows fantasy versus reality. He knows what
yes.
that is."
So they say, okay, fantasy versus reality, let's take him to a gun range and see how he takes to shooting an AR-15, which is the like the civilian version of the M16 or something.
Right.
And they put the kid in there, and the guy shows him how and gets him ready and tells him to aim and pull the trigger whenever he's ready. He pulls one shot, and right after that shot, this kid is just – you can tell he's traumatized.
Yeah.
Like he keeps sticking his tongue out. He doesn't like the smell of the gunpowder.
You tell it like scared the shit out of him.
Yeah, it scared the shit out of him. He's like, whenever the guy asked him if he wants to shoot again, he's like rocking back and forth like
yeah.
Rain Man.
Yeah,
like
he is.
He doesn't know how to react to it. And then later on in the show, Penn finally says, you know, we didn't want to show you this, but this is what happened after, and we're sorry. And it's the kid crying in his sister's arms while his mom is, you know, consoling him. I mean, it seriously frightened this kid. And I think he made a comment like, yeah, this is the brainwashed murderer that Jack Thompson thinks all these games turn kids
into. He keeps joking that, I can't believe we're going to do this. We're going to give this kid who plays video games an automatic weapon. What could happen here? And it just shows what bullshit is. And the funniest thing is the guy who would pass out his danger pamphlets about video games, it turns out, is really into guns and automatic weapons and all this shit. It was hilarious. It's just so stupid. But I thought that was a fun episode. And I can't, you know, I'm excited about next week. It's about the apocalypse in 2012. I can't wait to see that.
I got to TiVo that.
And they have these different people who are, they're so-called experts. That he goes, I don't even want to think about what's going to happen, but it's going to be pretty bad. You know, this guy who's like an expert. It's
hilarious. Do you remember in like the 80s that Hal Lindsey, the apocalyptic preacher, had all those countdown to Armageddon things?
Right,
And then the late great planet Earth and all that, and then the 90s rolled around, and then it was like, oh well, how about countdown to Armageddon in the 90s? It's like everybody's ready to
1999
claim it's the end
is
of the
it
world. Yeah, when the moment 2000 rolls around, we're all dead. The rapture will happen.
I'm just fascinated.
The banks will all shut down because of the 2000
bug, the Y2K.
I can't wait till next week. That's going to be good stuff. We'll go ahead and cover that one, too. But, guys, I think it's about time we talk about the Cake Boss, right?
Cake Boss?
Oh!
We got about 2 episodes of the Cake Boss. Cake Box. I don't know.
Cake Boxing? We're going to do some Cake Boxing here. Cake
Boss. You guys,
he put it in a box to deliver the cake.
He makes a cake for a wedding, and it's got friggin' birds in it. Like, he makes a little cage underneath it.
Is it for me, Familia?
Yeah, me familiar, but he's like, He's talking about, you know, back in the day, my daddy, my papa, I don't know what the hell he calls it. He used to make,
my papa.
He'd make these cakes with, where you'd open it up and the doves would fly out and it'd be beautiful, whatever. So, who's this big doofus he's got working for him, Bill, the guy with glasses? I know it's not Tone-Tone.
No, Tone-Tone don't got glasses. Tone-Tone's gay.
He asked this dude to go out and catch some doves, right?
No, he didn't. He said that they would just get doves from the store where they sell birds.
Yeah, the chicken shop or whatever.
Yeah, the chicken shop.
Yeah, he's got this real old guy, Sal. He's been working there like a million years. Like, we used to go to the chicken shop. And everyone's like, a chicken shop? What the hell's he talking about? What, is it next to the store?
Back in the days, we had the chicken shop, and right next door was the cow shop.
It's right next to the general store and the saloon. It's like, what? So let's check this out. These guys are jackasses. And it's all scripted, by the way.
Yeah.
The only thing is where the hell are we going to get the birds from?
I don't know, man.
After we fill this cake, you got to go find me birds. I want lovebirds. Doves. They're not pigeons. They're doves.
Yeah, but if I can't find you doves, we're going to have to settle for pigeons.
You and Danny. I need white birds. We'll find it. Don't worry about it. Guarantee we'll find doves.
Carry white doves. I'm looking for white doves.
Are there any
colored
doves?
Any way you can get them?
Pink doves.
You got any ideas where I can find one of these? Do you know where I can get them around here?
I can't find these things over the phone, online. Nobody's got them.
White doves are hard to find.
Catch some pigeons?
I'll meet you in the alley.
All right. Where do they hang out?
In a park,
I guess.
We're on a mission.
Oh, okay. Good Lord.
I like the music.
Those seagulls?
It's
Laurel and Hardy.
And they got their nets are going to catch birds.
Yeah, that's a
wow.
Throw a couple crumbs in the water. See if we can come close.
That's a seagull over there.
Make the noise.
I like this music.
Danny, make the noise.
Oh, there's one. That's coming now.
Danny, make the noise. See, he heard
you. That's how the papers have
to. What the hell are you doing?
Hello?
Where are you, man?
And he goes, oh, we're getting birds, boss.
Are you kidding me? You two dummies are in the fall kitchen pigeons.
Dude, we can't find them. Dummies.
He called us dummies.
You said you
had
pigeons.
Dummies.
I think at that point, Frankie was just frustrated, and he just wanted to get the hell out of the bakery for a while.
Don't talk to the bakery. What the hell is wrong with you?
You didn't get no birds? I've called everybody. I don't know what else you want me to do.
You're telling me that you can't find a pair of doves between here and New York?
There's no white doves, dude.
I don't think you're trying hard enough.
I called like 15 places.
I don't need excuses. I don't need this. I need doves.
I don't know what you want, man.
Go find me doves. I hear Frankie in the background going, they got cockadoos. They got
cockadoo.
Yes, hi.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. You guys carry white doves?
We do have some all white ones.
Yeah, you got any cockadoos over there?
Them. What time you want these for? I want them today.
Guys, the birds are here.
Go downstairs,
yo, bud.
Mary.
What's up, cuz? The birds are here.
Oh. Put it right here on the side.
Watch, they don't get free, man.
Heavy a little bit.
Just peek.
Just peek. Don't go too big.
And we gotta open the box.
Oh my god.
So he opens it up and there's ducks inside of it. I didn't say ducks, I said doves. It's Bill, how much of
it? It's so funny. You're gonna give me a heart attack here.
It's like, you can't follow simple instruction. Come on, how stage is that?
It was so bad. That was just so, so bad.
They got cockadoos.
Cockadoos?
Hey, yeah, I want to order some cockadoos.
Cockadoodle-doo. Cockadoo, how are you?
Wow. Wow. Just wow.
And then they just got the birds from somewhere. They didn't even... They're like, yeah, we got doves.
And then, you know, it always ends up where he gets somewhere just in time, and then he shows them. Everyone loves the cake. They open the door. The doves fly out, and they have the ceremony.
No, that was the most embarrassing thing. They opened the door to that thing, and he made the door too small so the doves wouldn't come out.
They had to pull them on strings or something?
They had to pull them out, and then they still wouldn't come out, so they had to reach in.
Yeah.
Pull out.
You're right,
It was so embarrassing.
The idea is supposed to be you open them and they just fly free, but that didn't happen.
No.
The next episode, he made this giant prehistoric rhinoceros or something.
It was this one where they did the birthday cake for the Sweet 16, right?
Yeah, that girl, she's 16? Really?
Yeah, I know. I was like, okay, she's 21. Oh, 16?
I was like, huh? And what happens is...
That's what you get whenever you spend entirely too much time in the sun. Yes, Krita, we know you can get doves. Stop putting links in the chat room. Jesus.
What?
He's like putting links to places where you can get doves. It's a TV show. We're talking about it. We don't want them.
Hey, Krita.
What do you do for a living?
Yeah, really?
Yeah, that's hilarious. You want the privacy or whatever,
but... He's like, you can get them in Michigan. You can get them in New Jersey. Go to newjerseydoves.com.
I'm just fascinated.
So basically, in this episode, he's making this prehistoric thing. But what happened here? The guy forgot to take the sponge cake out of the freezer, Bill.
Oh, no. What are you going to do?
And he's all pissed off. Meanwhile, his cousin, he's got to take the birthday cake.
Then he can't cover it with
the
fondant?
Okay, here's what I know. They got an elevator upstairs where they put the elevator on. You see it many times every episode, and they ride the elevator down with the cake.
It's a freight elevator for the cakes. For the big cakes.
So you don't have to worry about the cakes. But his cousin, he's going to take it downstairs, the big cake. And oh no, you don't want to know what happened, Steven. Check this out. It's very shocking. But first, we got to hear a buddy yell at his cousin.
Danny, where's the pound cake?
What? Talking to me?
I know that I told him to take the stuff out, but he was trying to play stupid.
Who are you, De Niro?
It's been in the freezer.
There's no one else here, so you must be talking to me.
I told you this morning to take the stuff out because now I gotta wait for the stuff to thaw out. Danny, you know better. You know how many cakes we gotta do? I mean, it's always something. How am I supposed to cut these, huh? It's frozen solid. How am I gonna cut it? It's always a problem. It's always a problem.
You friggin' retard.
This thing is heavy, man. Put it right.
All right,
no problem.
Danny. Oh, no. I got the board. What happened? You let go?
You got the board, but not the cake.
What the hell happened?
My brother is gonna kill you.
Oh, shut up, Mary.
Yeah. Go downstairs, man.
I love this.
What did you do?
It's f***ing Danny's fault.
What did you do?
I position my hand and he pushes the cake towards me.
Bring the thing inside. This cake took us days to do, and these two morons dropped it down the stairs. All right, everybody over here, come on. I don't want to hear it.
Oh,
just let's work.
Serious music, Steven.
It fell. Let's not talk about it, okay? Let's get the sponge. Come on. Start
don't
cutting
talk
buildings,
about
mixing
so
colors.
Angry.
We gotta
can't
go. This cake is for today.
Come on.
Wind it. There. You got the fondant colors mixed? Come on. Move it. I better have all that fondant ready to go.
Better have a shitload of the fondant over here.
You got all the colors mixed for the fondant?
That fondant better be pink.
They got cockadoos.
What did yous do?
I love it. It's like he can't. His vocabulary is so limited. He can't go. What did you two do? What did yous do?
What the hell happened?
We're star.
Don't you love Mary? She's like, my brother's gonna kill you.
She always has to like. She has to put herself into every situation.
I'm the real one in charge. Go downstairs, Mary. That's all I gotta say. Jesus. You would think they would have t-shirts of that for her when she walks in the room. Wouldn't you
do
that?
We need to make t-shirts for that.
Oh, you're right. Like Nowhere in Mulberry, cakewalk shirts.
Get a picture of that buddy on it with his arms crossed, and then above it, it'll say, go downstairs, Mary.
Go downstairs, Mary.
Hell yeah. So, yeah, that's the cake boss. He did other stuff, but I don't remembers. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I'm entertained by the show. It's so just
staged. I love watching it.
I'm excited.
It's so horribly scripted, but yeah. It's so funny.
I'm excited to watch it, Bill.
I want you stools to grab the cake and walk down the stairs and drop it.
And you know what? The prehistoric thing he made, whatever the hell that dino thing was,
yeah,
it turned out really cool looking. Except
yeah, but
for,
then they had to put it on top of some piece of shit.
Did they really need the caveman standing under it?
No. Why couldn't they just made the cake with the dinosaur? Why
this
did they have to put
museum
like
people and scientists? They know that the caveman wasn't standing under it.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, oh,
well, I just want to put the caveman there for scale, you know?
Yeah, so they know he's really big. Okay, standing next to the caveman. Wow. So
he really is an idiot.
So we have two episodes of Jesse James is a Dead Man. And I'll just briefly go into them. The first one...
So he's doubly dead?
Yes. He's a dead man twice. And Bill, I was talking to you about this. He does the very scary-looking figure eight racing. Have you ever seen that, Steven?
Yeah.
I don't know how they don't crash into each other. But in this clip here, Jesse James and his announcer, whoever else comes up with the shit with him, has a very interesting idea how he will basically learn timing on how to enter the slot safely. Let's check it out. It's pretty awesome.
What better way to test Jesse's timing and see if he'll be able to shoot the gap at the World Figure Eight Championship than trying to hit a moving target with this? A Browning M2 50 caliber machine gun. This beast can launch a bullet the length of 13 football fields in 1 second.
How?
And punch it through 1.3 inches of
what
steel armor.
What? How does that help?
Just a few episodes into like that monster garage, they get to shoot a 50 caliber gun.
Yep. Look at that. I killed the driver.
Okay, how does that help you enter the slot in the racing?
Because he's got to go like a bullet.
What? It doesn't make any sense.
He just likes shooting the 50 caliber gun. Just any excuse to shoot a
50. Yeah, that's pretty badass, man. Pretty badass, yo.
Well, I love how they were like, they tried to make it as like scientific as possible.
Right, they do that. Like, they do the blueprint readout or whatever.
Yeah. Well, we're going to lock this gun down so you can't move it around, and you have to fire at the moving target so you know what it's like to shoot through that pass.
And it was he kept missing the target they had on the car, so he'd do it over and over, and finally he was like, screw it. And they had the car sitting still, and he just shot at it till it caught on fire.
Yeah.
So the Baja race one isn't much different, where I figured out what Jesse James is. It's all about numbers, hearing awesome high numbers to the alpha male, like, big number, og-like, That's what it is.
300 people out of 2,000 die while doing this race.
Now, listen to this as he talks about his cool Baja car, and just listen to the big numbers. It makes me, caveman, very happy. Let's check it out.
The rugged terrain is almost too much for the stock truck, even at slow speeds.
Too much.
But Jesse built the trophy truck to true through any terrain without a problem. What makes it so tough?
It's got a set of full testicles for an engine.
The triple reinforced 4130 chromoly steel cage.
Chromoly.
Designed to withstand 100 mile an hour impacts.
Oh, 100.
The Brodix engine pumps out 900 horses.
900?
And down below is a massive suspension system.
Yeah,
that gets
massive.
Pummeled with over 100,000 pounds of force.
Pummeled!
100,000 pounds.
Big number, Ocline.
Going fast as hell at Baja.
Fast as hell.
Staying alive.
Yeah, but fast as hell isn't a number.
Yeah, we need hard data here, buddy.
I'm confused all of a sudden. They didn't finish it with a number.
I kind of made it where it was even easier for us to understand. Let's check this out.
The triple reinforced 4130 chromoly steel cage. 100 mile an hour impacts. Pumps out 900 horses of desert eating power. 100,000 pounds of force.
Ah, me lie.
Wow. That's giving me an erection.
Oh, my goodness. Whoa, Bill. You okay?
Yeah.
You have a lot of free time.
You guys are chuckleheads. No, but the Baja race, I got to say that looks really fun, though. Can you imagine just going out in the desert, just like, let it out, man. Drive as fast as you want, man. But you gotta, what, do you guys like the idea of having someone yelling directions at you? I don't.
No. No.
What is he?
But that's how those races are, like those rally races and stuff. They have a navigator and a driver.
Yeah, in the rally races, they have a navigator who tells you when the turns are coming up and when to take it. No, I just want to fly by the seat of my pants. You know what I'm saying over here?
I've played video games. I know how it works.
Yeah. That's
because you have so much time.
Yeah, too much free time.
Video games without big skin guns are bullshit.
Whoa. All right, let's talk about Top Chef, then get into the news, Bill. Top Chef, we'll just get into this. I don't know who any of the cooks are anymore.
I knew who John Besh was because he was on the competition for the new Iron Chef America, where it was a bunch of chefs competing to be the Iron Chef, the new one. So I knew who he was. He's the Louisiana chef, the Cajun boy.
They're doing a dinner for Neil Patrick Harris at the Magic... What was it called?
The Magic Castle.
The Magic Castle. That's where
it should be called the Gay Magic Castle.
Yeah. Where it's an exclusive magic type club where you can only be invited. You can't just go there like it's.
Well, you're either a member or you're invited.
Right. I thought the idea was really cool. They challenged the chefs to come up with something that were each the elements of a magic trick, which is.
Yeah. Surprise,
mystery,
misdirection, illusion,
and
spectacle.
Right. And
the prestige.
And thought it was neat. This one Asian woman, I think that's what she was, wasn't she, Bill?
Yeah, she was. Anita Lowe, I believe, was her name.
You could just tell she was really creative.
I am Blackanese. I'm Blasian, if you will.
No. She was just Asian.
Cool as a cucumber, man. The moment she came into that kitchen, it like took absolutely no effort for her. It was just amazing how...
I got to say that the opening competition that they do, the quickfire, it seems like whoever wins that is pretty much a lock to win that episode. Yeah. And she made this, it looked like,
I'm trying to remember.
It looked like a scallop, but it's not a scallop, Steven. There's something inside there. It's a secret.
Was it steak, a daikon radish that looked like a...
steak tartare inside
of it. Yeah, a scallop with a steak tartare inside of it.
It was interesting. Let's go ahead and check this out. It's pretty awesome. And like we said, Neil Patrick Harris, he has a lot of magician friends who are all of a certain...
homosexual persuasion.
Yes.
Lesbians.
No, they're not lesbians.
No, the other ones.
No.
They're the other ones. Okay, let's check this out. The other one.
The other one.
Thank you. Everyone, this is Chef Anita Lowe. Well, today my theme is illusion. So this is a braised daikon. We've got a sort of a kombu caviar. And inside is a steak tartare.
Speaking a foreign language over there.
This is meant to look like a scallop with caviar on top. And I have a seascape underneath. That if you listen really carefully, it will crackle. This is a little shellfish broth that hopefully will bring some smell of the sea as well.
Thank you, Chef Anita.
Thank you. Enjoy.
Can't wait. Presentation. That's exactly what I thought was a scallop.
It reminded me of the famous sawing the lady in half trick, but gone wrong.
Well, I think in terms of the illusion challenge, she nailed it.
I'm not so sure about the daikon with it, the braised daikon, maybe just because my palate's not used to that, the two flavors together.
I have to say, for me, this is easily my favorite. I love the tartare. I love the accoutrement with all of the sea stuff
combined
to create the surf and turf. I'm
accoutrement.
A big fan.
There are no kings at that castle, only queens.
I love the accoutrement with all of the sea stuff.
I'm going to start working that into every conversation.
Steve. That's an important word.
The accoutrement.
Accoutrement. I'm going to go like to the store and be like, you know, I'm checking out. And like, did you find everything? Oh, yes. There was an excellent accoutrement. I found everything. Thank you very much.
I'm just fascinated.
Ugh. But, hey, MPH dug it. She was a lock to win, right?
Yep.
There was one guy, he made, like, this paper bag thing that you open, and there's, like, fish inside. That
it was
not...
supposed to be mystery. It was like, oh.
Here's a bag of something. Bag. Open it up.
That is a mystery.
Yeah. It's like, at least should have had a mystery box filled with fish.
And you know what was inside?
They got cockadoos.
Oh, gross.
Oh, my God. I bet you the gay magicians love a cockadoo.
Oh, hey. Ah, that's kind of creepy sounding.
In the whole goddamn world.
All right, but I thought that was made up for a very boring Top Chef 2 weeks ago. I thought this one was really cool. I liked how creative they got with it. And,
yeah, it was interesting.
The guy
I also like one chef that went, a lot of chefs say you haven't made it until you have a restaurant in New York. And he goes, that's bullshit.
Yes, I like that too. Because they're just saying that because they're in New York. Just like that lady on the friggin' Great American thing. I'm from New York over here, so we cheat.
From, yeah, what does that say from New York?
Wait,
we're a bunch of cheetahs.
Out. We cheat, so we know how to spot a cheetah.
Okay. Before you get excited.
Yeah. So
that guy looked like Andy Richter, by the way.
Yeah, the host of that show looks like Andy Richter.
Holy balls!
Yeah, holy balls. He looks like Andy Richter's cousin or something.
Holy now, balls with cockadoos.
You seem to have a lot of free time.
Yeah. And you know what? We have plenty of free time to do the news, Bill. Let's do it.
I rise above that
All right, Bill, what news do we have this week?
Okay, let's start off with Ventura, California. A drunk nude man covered in his own blood was tasered and arrested by police as he tried to flee a hospital armed with scissors.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like he's got his shit together, much like Steven.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Gilbert, 42, of Lancaster, was apparently being treated at the emergency room of the Ventura County Medical Center for a head injury after he suffered a fall. I guess he went batshit insane from that fall. He became impatient and yanked out TVs,
what?
IVs, and catheters. How did he pull a TV down? Holy
shit. Yikes. Did he do the catheter first, then the TV?
I ain't pulling no catheter out.
Yeah, it's like, can we take this out as slowly as possible?
Yowzes.
Yikes.
And then he threatened two nurses with scissors. Where the hell did he get the scissors?
Whoa. Were they the orange handle scissors? Or
I doubted.
They're the green handled lefty scissors, I bet. They're on points on them.
With the rounded tips.
Yeah, because left-handed people, I guess, are accident prone.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm left-handed. That's why I'm bringing this up. I was like, what the hell is this? You're a little kid. You get the ones that are rounded because you're a friggin' moron because you're left-handed.
Yeah, you and your retarded left hand.
That's the way it is. What the hell?
You little mongoloid.
Yeah, that's the way I was treated, man. What the hell?
So the guy was subdued by two officers for assault with a deadly weapon. Scissors are deadly?
They can friggin' kill you, man, sure. Over there.
I'm gonna cut your hair, you son of a bitch.
You can stab with them.
What joke?
And if they're from the hospital, they're probably friggin' razor sharp.
Yeah, yeah. Probably right.
Don't they have those safety scissors that are supposed to cut your clothes off, though? Like somebody who's been in an accident?
Yeah, but still, they're sharp.
You can still kill
someone?
I mean,
you gotta think, they gotta cut through clothes.
You can kill somebody with anything, really, if you think about it. Like, Steven, I can kill you with
Steven uses
this.
Those, he steals them from the hospital and uses them when he's impatient, when he gets
what the hell
to
are
the
you doing?
Hotel room. He just cuts his clothes,
cuts my clothes off. I hate these.
It's just like, if you're really tired, it's just easier.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And you just get a whole new wardrobe. All right. A goat has been rescued from a tree. Can you believe that?
Sweet. Wait a second. This sounds... No, how did he get in the tree?
Well, I don't like... I hope this story explains it, but it starts out saying that you can't use cooking spray to take a goat out of a tree. Oh,
you can't?
At least it didn't work on July 1st when 59-year-old Alicia Crafel tried it after one of her goats, King George, got stuck in the oak tree on her property.
That's a great name for a goat.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to name my next goat King George.
Goats love to eat oak leaves, and King George is no exception. Crafel's goat yard, guarded by a giant white Great Pyrenees dog, is full of oak trees. Stripped of their leaves as far as 6 feet up from the ground, King George and several of Crafel's other goats are taller than her when they stand on their hind legs. Crafel suspects King George was just trying to get on the tree when he slipped, twisted his foot, catching it in a narrow crevice between oak branches. Oh, shit, so this thing wasn't in the tree. It was hanging from the tree.
Oh, the poor thing.
That poor goat.
A poor
damn
goat. Foggy, I'm waiting for a goat.
Goat
drop.
That's a cow.
That's about as close as I think we're gonna get.
Oh, okay. That's that's Zoltan.
Yeah.
Oh, this sucks even worse. When she returned that night from her Seattle vacation, she found her goat hanging from the oak tree, his feet barely touching the hole he had dug in his struggle. Oh, poor goat.
Oh, poor little guy.
She sprayed Pam all over everything to try and grease it, but it's a 215-pound animal.
Pam? Get a friggin'... Didn't she have, like, shears to cut what it was hanging by?
Or? Yeah, doesn't she have somebody that could, you know, lift her up and... You know, push it up and get it out. That poor goat. I feel terrible for it. I'm sorry I did the story. It's depressing.
Poor little guy.
Hopefully, you know, he didn't eat everything in the yard. Maybe he'll learn this time not to try to eat leaves that are higher than he is. Alright, authorities arrested two people connected to the theft of a baby skunk from a pet store. The Sarasota County Sheriff. Who the frick would take a baby skunk?
Hopefully it's got his
sack cut.
Stink sack cut.
Well, huh? I don't think it does. The Sarasota all of a sudden I'm Yosemite Sam.
Something's wrong.
Sarasota.
What I say the, now, yeah.
I say the Sarasota County Sheriff's Office reported that the skunk was stolen Wednesday from the Animal Crackers Pet Store. That's a great name.
What?
The animal was valued at $400.
Holy shit.
Deputies said they arrested a 21-year-old man on Thursday when he tried to return the skunk to the store. Deputies also picked up a 20-year-old woman while she was at work. The man who deputies actually stole the skunk was charged with grand theft. And the woman was charged with accessory to grand theft of a skunk.
Grand theft skunk.
Yeah,
that's a new video game.
Nice. Imagine trying to get a job and that's on your permanent record. I see here you were charged with grand theft of a skunk.
When I vaguely remember this. Some neighbor of ours had a pet skunk, and I thought it was weird and strange, and I was afraid to go near the skunk. But
yeah.
They tried to explain that it didn't have a smell. It couldn't do that.
It didn't have the scent gland anymore.
Right.
But isn't it like technically like a rodent?
That's what I thought, but they said it's just like...
It's kind of like a cat.
Yeah, it's like having a cat or something. They're affectionate and everything. But I always thought they were like nocturnal animals. They only come out at night. How does that work when they're in your house?
Yeah.
It just seems like you're just...
Well, like a night... If you like work days and you're up night, I don't know.
It just seems like you're just taking the animal out of its habitat and just torturing it for the rest of its life.
Yeah, that seems kind of cruel.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't have to forage anymore. You're just going to feed it cat food. I mean, that's what they feed them.
That's right.
You seem to know a lot about this, Steven.
I knew somebody that had a skunk, and that's they fed.
You have a lot of free time.
I do.
Two inmates at the Chatham County Jail in coastal Georgia got burned by their own smoking habit when they started a fire trying to light a handmade cigarette with a spark from an electrical socket.
Dumbasses!
Wow.
Nice.
No wonder they're in prison.
It's like, I don't understand how we get caught. Okay, come over here. I gotta light the cigarette.
We gotta take these idiots off the streets. both inmates were
stupid! Y'all so stupid!
Both inmates were treated for minor burns after their cellmates quickly doused the fire with water. The sheriff's deputy said the jail banned smoking more than a decade ago, but it hasn't stopped inmates from improvising. I'd say so. Some of these guys have serious habits and cravings, the sheriff's deputy said. They try to smoke a lot of things. Lettuce, collard greens, turnip greens, whatever was served to them at lunch that day.
I figured they let the lettuce dry out a day or two.
I know something else they smoke in there.
No!
I would hope not. Or at least, you know, not be forced to do it.
Yeah, what the hell?
Well, hey, it's prison.
A bug just flew by my head.
Oh, I thought you were talking about being a prison bitch. Oh,
that too. What the hell?
All right. This is important to anybody who loves Slim Jims.
Oh, sign me up, buddy.
Yeah, I put the commercial of Macho Man in this week. Snapping into Slim Jims. Mainly for this. If you're wondering where your beloved beef jerky sticks are, there's a shortage due to a deadly explosion last month that caused a gas leak that destroyed the only Slim Jim plant in the country and killed.
Everybody get back! We got a gas leak! No!
Oh, that's from the scene, Bill.
Yeah, that was real-time sound from the Slim Jim explosion.
The Slim Jim factory has exploded, and there is meat product everywhere.
Yeah, oh my, I can't even, I hate Slim Jims. They are disgusting, but apparently people love them.
Yeah.
They don't expect to produce any more Slim Jims until the fall.
You know what,
I think
they're good, but if anyone else has one and you're sitting around them and smell it,
oh, they
horrible.
Stink!
It's a kind of a thing where it's okay if it's just you, but if somebody else has to smell it, it's just like, God, that smells like shit. Get the hell away from me.
It smells like cow, asshole.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. I'd like a foot-long cow, asshole, please.
Yeah, that's delicious colon.
I love the accoutrement with all of the sea stuff.
Yeah.
I love the accoutrement with the Slim Jim.
He definitely loves his accoutrement of ass.
Yikes!
Sorry, was that too much? All right. the JFK airport runway was closed this week due to turtles.
Turtles?
I love turtles.
Get that guy back on Entourage. Tell him to quit blocking the...
Friggin' turtle over here. Get the hell off the runway. And he's watching...
You got a nice zombie here. What do you have this... I like turtles. Best clip ever on YouTube.
Yeah, look up I Look Like Turtles on YouTube.
I like turtles.
There's something wrong with that child, by the way.
Yeah. He's... Not even a half a day after severe thunderstorms wreaked havoc on the local New York airport operations... the past morning, JFK battled another force of Mother Nature, turtles. Perhaps washed out of their swampy airport-side homes by the rain, a swarm of turtles wandered their way onto the runway, forcing it to close and cause delays.
Holy balls!
Thank God there was no ooze there.
Oh, yeah, they would have turned into Ninja Turtles.
But that maybe wouldn't have been so bad for New York, you know. Apparently there's some already in there, and maybe they could team up and form like a super team to fight the foot.
That's right, because, you know, they will basically fight crime, right?
Yeah, go ninja, go ninja, go.
The mutant guy!
Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
I would so hate F her, but that's another thing.
Whoa,
entirely.
What the hell's going on here?
Sorry. I just watched that episode of, I've been trying to catch up on my Californication. There's the episode where the David Duchovny character hate F's the Rachel Ray type woman on.
Oh,
the
yeah.
That was cracking me up.
A lot of free time.
And by the way, it's really weird to see Leoben on that. I mean, it's genuinely creepy.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Leoben's his best friend.
That is pretty cool. You know what, his name is Callum Keith Rennie,
uh-huh.
I believe. Get him into the Dark Tower series of movies somehow.
He's the Man in Black.
Oh, he would be good. You're right.
Oh my God, would he be awesome as the Man in Black?
Leoben. Yeah.
I'm just fascinated.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Sorry, we're boring.
So we've got the Man in Black casted. We've got Roland casted as Josh Holloway.
Yes.
Now we need Jake casted.
Hey, has Viggo Mortensen just been too much in roles like that?
Yeah, he's
too obvious. Yeah, I'm going to stick with Josh Holloway with that.
Yeah, I think Josh Holloway is perfect. Okay. Anyways, Alpharetta, Georgia woman who led Sandy Springs police on a high-speed chase Wednesday night was allegedly trying to light a crack pipe as officers broke out
Holy
a window
shit.
Of the vehicle to arrest her. So she goes on a chase in a Hyundai. Wow. Makes a U-turn, speeds northbound, and then stops to light her crack pipe.
Do you love it?
She loves the crack pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah. She needed that extra oomph to keep the chase going. And one last story, you know, all these celebrity deaths has really put a damper on Nadia Suleiman, also known as the Octomom's, publicity.
Oh, yeah. I haven't heard about her for a long time. You're right.
Yeah. So what happens now that all the deaths have passed over? She has admitted to the paparazzi from Radar Online that a few days ago in her house, she heard a soft whisper saying, "Mommy," and that she doesn't believe in ghosts, but it really scared her. And she thinks that there's a child ghost living in her house.
What? Something to me?
She doesn't think it's one of the 10 children she already has, or 14.
Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it's one of the kids going, "Mommy, Mom," and she's just like, "I don't see a kid." She's ignoring the child.
Did you see
a ghost?
It's like, no, they're in the other room, you dumbass. Go check on your kids.
"Mommy, I want milk." What is that?
My God, it's haunted over here.
It's haunted over here. What? Oh, my God, it's a cockatoo.
No.
I got my little eight babies in front of me. They're not talking.
Have you ever been alone in your house and you heard that?
You're looking for sex.
Yikes. It's time to get the hell out of the house, am I right?
No, but I have seen weird things out of my peripheral vision.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like shadow people and shit like that.
Whoa, shadow people.
Yeah, that's what they call it on Coast to Coast AM. Whenever you see, like, odd things out of your peripheral vision, it looks like somebody walking by or something.
Right.
They call it a shadow person.
Don't they know what that is? It's your brain just trying to compute something.
Yeah,
right.
I know. It's so ridiculous, but they
that
just love
that is creepy
them.
Shit. Shadow people? Now I got to worry about that shit? I've got enough on my plate, you know?
Yudanasha in the chat room says it's the Observer.
Oh, cool. I mean, seriously, how am I going to...
Get out of the shower and there's the shadow person. Wait, it's the Observer watching me shower.
Oh, hey,
why are you watching me shower?
Hey, shadow guy, hand me the towel and make yourself useful over there.
The Observer's perfect.
Can you loofah my back here, buddy?
Hey, shadow guy, there's no TP in here. Run to the other bathroom, okay?
Loofah my back, no butt play.
Boob City.
Stay away from my rear.
I want to get the job as the shadow guy so I can go see Boob City.
Stay above the equator.
Stay above the equator. Don't go below my tramp stamp.
Oh, dude.
You seem to have a lot of friends.
Shut up! I'm going to kick that guy's ass.
He's getting a lot of play this week.
I'm starting to think that was Foggy who sent that voicemail.
Well, it's entirely possible.
Yeah, I know you want your privacy or whatever, but...
No, keep listening to the show. I'm glad you listen.
Yeah.
Cry out.
All right,
God,
and that's news this week. Let's do some DVDs.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week. I appreciate it. It was really good. Good stuff. Now let's do some DVDs!
Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! DVDs! HD Blu-ray Standard Definition! DVDs!
Love the
the accoutrement with all of the sea stuff.
Oh, well,
I love the accoutrement of you helping me sing. That's always
That was perfectly in harmony. When you listen back to that, you're gonna your eardrums are gonna blow out.
I'm just fascinated.
Ah, son of a bitch! All right, Bill, what DVDs do we have
this
week?
When did I find the time to write that DVD
song? Yeah, really. I'm shocked at that, Steven. You really need. I need to know more. It's crucial to my enjoyment of the show. All right, this one will help me doing the commercial breaks. 1,001 classic commercials.
Wow.
Why not watch over 16 hours
holy shit.
Of the greatest TV commercials? Oh, my God.
Don't I already fast forward? That's why I got a TiVo or DVR. Do I want to fast forward through the 1,600 hours? Or
sorry,
who in their right flipping mind would watch 16 hours of commercials?
I mean, what era are these? Just through the beginning of time? Or
yeah, it looks like it. Yeah, it looks like from the moment commercials appeared on TV up through whenever. I don't know.
Buy a DVD. You can fast forward through.
It looks insane. Over 990 minutes.
It better have those Folgers Crystal commercials.
For $10.
Are we
maybe
talking like
in the $5 Walmart pal eventually?
Do they have old school McDonald's commercials on there?
I would have to assume they do because it looks like it's commercials from when they first started.
You know what? You might buy it so you can have some material.
Yeah, but what the hell, man? I'm not going to sit through 16 hours to get material.
I think I might. Yeah, I might. I could sit through that.
You seem to have a lot of free time.
Oh, damn it! Got me again, you bastard!
All right. Moving on. Anthony Bourdain, No Reservations, Collection
they
4.
They got cockadoos.
Yeah, I think there's some cockadoos.
He eats some cockadoos on the road there.
I love that show, his show, No Reservations, Bill, that you're talking about and everything, but it's still not in HD on DirecTV. What the hell?
I know. I'm so glad that I have DirecTV and I have cable. Don't ask me why. But they have travel HD on my cable. And it's funny. They do this weird thing where the seasons that weren't in HD, they zoom them in just a little bit but still leave a little bar on the sides. So it still looks piss poor, but the new seasons that are all in HD look great.
I love the accoutrement with all of the sea stuff.
Oh, yeah, me too. Oh,
I love. He especially loves the sea stuff because it's nice and salty. But I don't understand why anybody would ever buy this on DVD because they're on every day.
Yeah, they show friggin' blocks of it, don't they? Like for the next 6 hours,
it'll be on for like 5 hours.
It's just like BBC America. They have like we're now going to play 16 Kitchen Nightmares. It's like, oh, okay, I'll check that out.
Holy balls!
I love that. Whenever they're talking about the video games on bullshit, and they're showing all these horribly graphic scenes, which all tend to be from that Brothers in Arms.
Yeah, that's the game with the gore engine.
Yeah, the gore engine, so that shit breaks apart and everything. But I rented it from GameFly, and I still haven't played it. I'm just not. I don't know.
Not ready?
Not excited about it. Next DVD is probably the most important release of the week for me. Any title that has big, bouncy British boobs and bonanza in it,
whoa.
I'm sold.
Boob City.
Yeah.
Big time.
I'd love to know how these things get released. I'm not even going to read the synopsis of it because it's just so incredibly terrible.
Is this like a family film or something, Bill?
Yeah, no shit. it's a
great
film
big
to keep
bushy beard.
To keep men and babies' attentions.
Men and babies.
Yeah.
I have a lot in common with babies.
Yeah, we all seem to revert back to that stage. All right.
Yes.
Next DVD I'm mentioning, just because the cover cracks me up, the movie is called Chasing the Green. No, it's not about pot running or anything like that. It's the true story of two brothers, Adam and Ross, who became millionaires. Their drive leads them into conflict with Federal Trade Commission officials trying to destroy them. But anyways, it has Jeremy London in it, and he's on the cover. He's the first person. He looks like Corky from Life Goes On. He's so bloated.
Oh, poor guy.
I mean, I think of him in Mallrats, and then I see this, and it's like, man, when did he get Down
syndrome?
Dude,
what happened to you, dude?
When did you get Down syndrome?
Fascinated.
When did you get fat and Down syndrome?
I didn't know that Down syndrome was contagious.
Apparently, you can get it if you're just really lazy, I think.
Yeah. but it's so funny. You know your career's in the shitter when you're doing movies with Jeremy London, Robert Picardo, and William Devane.
Awesome. That's a good cast there.
That's the trifecta of suck.
You know, you make it sound really enticing.
Yeah, I do. I try my best. the next DVD is the DC Universe Ultimate Collection.
Ooh.
And it's got the two-disc edition of Superman Doomsday, the two-disc edition of Justice League New Frontier.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, and the two-disc DVD of Batman Gotham Knight. So nice. If you don't have any of those, you might want to pick it up. Because I liked Superman Doomsday. It was good. Justice League New Frontier was awesome. I loved the adaptation of the graphic novel.
I love all the Green Lantern stuff in there.
Yeah. And Batman Gotham Knight was a little bit weak, but it was still enjoyable.
It was just, what was cool about New Frontier is it had that accoutrement of all the superheroes.
Exactly, and it was that classic, it was like they pulled the accoutrement of all the styles, those classic styles, and put them together into one large accoutrement.
You're right.
I love the accoutrement with all of the sea stuff.
And I think Neil Patrick Harris did a voice of somebody in that, too.
He did. I think he was the Flash. The voice of I think, wait.
He was the Flash, wasn't he?
No, Michael Rosenbaum's the Flash, isn't he? Or is he the Flash in this one? I guess it really doesn't matter. But yes, he is he does the voice for many DC things.
Right.
All right, next DVD is a film from 1991. It's a Lucio Fulci film called Door into Silence. Okay. And it's got John Savage in it, the guy from The Deer Hunter, and It's one of those, like, Euro cult pieces of shit.
I wish I had a silent door. My front door squeaks really bad when you open
I know,
it.
But you just need to put some WD-40 on it and fix this whole thing.
Isn't that funny? It's something so easy, but you just don't do it, you know? You got the WD-40 in the garage, and you just won't go get it. It's crazy.
Yeah, and that the horror in this film could be solved easily by that. WD-40.
Is that what this movie's about, pretty much?
Yeah, it's about squeaky doors that need to be silenced.
Wait! Time out!
next DVD qualifies as the Hot Chick of the Week DVD.
Yeah!
It's called Edge of Love with Keira Knightley and Sienna Miller. It looks like one of those like period pieces, like World War II or something.
Oh!
I'm sure it's a gigantic stinking turd of a movie, but I find both of those British actresses quite attractive.
What's with Keira Knightley's agent? I think you should do another period drama.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think maybe she's
just in a giant wig.
She thinks that's all she can do is these freaking period pieces.
And I guess what that does, Bill, is that gets you some
keeps her working.
Gets you some what do you call it?
Accoutrement?
Yes, that's it. It's a nice accoutrement of work there.
I think this, if I recall correctly, this is the film that Keira Knightley had to sing in. There was like a whole big deal about her taking voice lessons and everything. It was like, it totally doesn't matter to me at all. She should just be naked all the time and eat more food, put a little more meat on her bones.
Yeah.
Lesbian.
Oh, is that what the movie's about, Bill?
If it is, I'm buying it.
A great big bushy beard.
Oh, yeah, back in the day, you know, they didn't really...
Yeah, they... There weren't a whole lot of movie there.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
You have a lot of free time.
Yeah, I know. I am sorry. All right, the next DVD is the Criterion Collection re-release of For All Mankind, the NASA documentary about all the different Apollo missions.
What did you
really terrific movie. Has like voiceovers from all the different astronauts and everything. And the big thing about this is they're not only releasing it on DVD but on Blu-ray. So it should look absolutely gorgeous. All that footage from the Apollo missions and the landings and everything in remastered to high definition. And I'm a big space.
Nice. Yeah, I love all that stuff. That's awesome. And, you know, speaking of that, they have this cool astronaut show coming on ABC, Bill.
Oh, yeah. That Defying Gravity looks just
looks like terrific. They filmed it in someone's garage. And
yeah, it looks like a
You know, I like Ron Livingston, but I don't, just from the commercial, it doesn't look good.
Well, you know, the first nail in the coffin of the show is from the producers of Grey's Anatomy. Oh, shit. Yeah, it's like you have space and then you're like, oh, cool, a show in space. Oh, wait, Grey's Anatomy. So it's a soap opera in space.
Yeah. Wow.
And
good Lord, drunk
and
chick.
Fox won't put Virtuality on the air.
Ugh. You know, we didn't get to talk about Virtuality because we didn't do a show, but I really liked it. I thought it was really done.
It was such a tease. It was like the ending was such a tease. I'm like, I want more!
I know, and that's all we're getting because Fox, they effed
it. Suck ass.
Yes, they do. They suck ass. They totally made it where no one would watch it so they could just abandon it.
Yeah, and it's tragic, too, because on Hulu, they put it up there as, like, a movie, and everyone's like, this is the worst movie ever. There's absolutely no resolution. It's like, you idiots.
It's like it's a pilot to a TV show.
It's like they don't even bother doing research before they post
their
stupid
opinions. I mean, it's the same
shit,
like, if Lost never got picked up, but they're like, let's just show the pilot. People would be like, well, what the hell's The Island? This movie sucks. A pilot's not meant to be a movie, and then that's it. People are friggin' morons.
Yes, they are.
Right, Steven?
Yes.
They have entirely too much time.
If you have a show with a lot of numbers, you know, I think it would be really good.
The triple reinforced 4130 chromoly steel cage.
Yeah.
100 mile an hour impact.
About
900 horses.
Yeah.
Of desert eating power. 100,000 pounds of force.
Oh, yeah, man.
That son of a bitch eats the desert?
Wow.
The desert eating force.
That is, oh man, yeah.
What the hell?
Can't believe how powerful it is.
A Browning M2 50 caliber machine gun.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, shoot that shit up good. Yeah.
Keep talking dirty to me.
Awesome.
So stupid. All right, next DVD is another, I guess, opus from Dennis Quaid, direct-to-DVD called Horseman.
Quaid!
It's got him and Ziyi Zhang.
Oh, I love Ziyi Zhang.
I like her just because it's like I can sit there and go,
Ziyi Yang, Ziyi Top.
So I guess this movie's about some dude that's connected to the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Oh,
sounds awesome.
He's like friends with them. Awesome.
Yeah. I was related.
It's one of the producers is Michael Bay, and the director is Jonas Åkerlund, so it's got to be incredible.
Now, is this one of those movies that is pretty badass, but just no one has heard of it?
No, it's one of those movies that was so bad the studio wouldn't touch it and put it directly on DVD.
Oh.
1, 2, 3. Go and eat it.
Too bad. Too bad.
Yeah. I think this will probably be your choice for DVD of the week. Mad Men Season 2 on DVD. And
yes, it is. I watched Season 1 a long time ago, and I've been waiting for this friggin' thing to come out, Bill.
Yeah, so have I. I bought Season 1, but I haven't watched it yet, so I was going to wait until I got Season 2 and then just watch them both.
Bill, I got to do my Blu-ray trick where I send in my movie. I rented Push, the movie with Chris Evans where he's got powers. Send that.
Is there any cockadoos in there?
Oh, yeah, plenty. And
awesome.
He mails that. I'm going to mail that. He mails. Chris Evans mails it for me. No, I'm going to mail it tomorrow and get Mad Men Disc 1.
Awesome. They got cockadoos.
So you haven't watched season one yet, right?
No, I'm waiting. I bought it, but I'm waiting.
It's an incredible show. It's so well done. And what I'm hoping is finish season two in time for Mad Men premieres on AMC. Also not in HD on DirecTV. Sucks. But do that in time to be able to cover it on the show. That's what I'm hoping. So okay. You ought to get it and watch all those.
I will. I'll do it right away. Speaking of the end of the world, Nostradamus 2012 on DVD, a History Channel special.
Oh, I got to see this. What this guy a long time ago I'm came up with.
Kind of wondering if
this tagline. The tagline is so from a movie. In fact, it might be the tagline from the upcoming 2012 movie. Hindsight is 2020. Foresight is 2012.
Ooh!
Holy balls!
Yeah. Yeah, that scares the shit out of me.
Yeah. What are we going to do, man? Should we keep doing the show? The world's going to end.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do it.
There will still be some people out there.
What I'm hoping is 2012, that date. What is it, December something?
It was like December 12th, 2012 or something.
So you mean it's going to turn 2012 and we're going to have to wait a whole year to December for the world to end? And it's about to turn 2013?
Yep.
Wow. Yep. So, yeah, basically...
Just a few days before 2013.
I'm hoping what it is, Bill, is it's on a Friday, so we can do the show during the end of the world.
Sweet.
Tidal wave! Or something like that. I don't know
versus the apocalypse.
Oh, dude, we're going to kick the apocalypse's ass. Totally, dude.
Speaking of kicking ass, Punky Brewster... on DVD, the 25th anniversary edition, 8 complete episodes.
Only 8?
Yeah, I don't quite get why they're only... Maybe they're testing the water. It's that... It's
Punky Rooster 2.0. They're going to have 2.5.
Yeah, I think they're just... They want to see if there's an audience for it.
You know, I want the Punky Brewster cartoon, Saturday morning cartoon with Glomer. Come on.
Oh, my God.
My daughter would love that. Put that on
DVD. I know.
That
would be cool. It's like I bought Gem and Rainbow Bright for my niece, and she loves those.
Oh, I love that stuff, man.
I love the accoutrement with all of the sea stuff.
Yeah, I love the accoutrement of 80s of Glomer. Animation.
Glomer's rocked, man. That's so weird when they're like, okay, we're going to do Punky Brewster in her show, but let's give her a magical creature that she has also. So it's a little, you know, it's a little bit different than the sitcom. It's like, what?
What the hell?
What we're going to do is we're mixing it with Ghostbusters.
Finally hitting DVD in Region 1 is Wreck. REC or record.
Oh, yeah. This is the movie that they totally ripped off that movie with Deb from Dexter.
Yeah, for quarantine.
Yeah. No, yeah. Wreck was first, and I heard it's scary as hell, Bill.
Yeah, it's an excellent film.
Well, it scared the shit
out
of me.
It makes it all the scarier because I don't speak Spanish.
It's like, what are they talking about? I'm so scared.
Spanish people scare me.
My God, it's Spanish zombies.
I am Blackanese, I'm Blasian, if you will.
Make up your mind, dude. Are you Blackanese or are you Blasian?
Guys, I'm really into Blasian cinema. It's awesome.
It's Blasian.
I'm into Blaname.
Blaname? What the hell is that?
Blaname. That's excellent. Good.
It's like the drawings are Black and Asian. I like it. You know what
I
like?
I love the accoutrement with all the sea stuff.
Complete series.
What is it, Bill?
The State complete series.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen it.
Really? Very funny.
I heard it's funny. It's got all those actors who are huge right now. Right?
Yes.
Name
one. It's got Kenny Silver, who was in... who's in Reno 911?
Oh, okay.
Thomas Lennon, who's in Reno 911? Ken Marino, who's
Ken Marino,
doing Party Down.
Party Down, yeah.
And it's filled with people that have moved on to much better things.
Basically, if you watch this, you'd recognize everybody, pretty much.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Is that one
Michael
guy?
Showalter, David Wayne.
Yeah.
Is that guy from Superbad in it?
The guy from Superbad.
You guys on MySpace or?
Yes. Yes.
That's
yes,
what I
yes,
thought.
Yes. Oh, I just got a private message. Ooh, a private message from you to Nasha. He checked. He wanted to make sure we weren't idiots, and he says that it's 12/21/2012. So it's December 21st, 2012. It's a Friday.
Awesome.
So the world will end the night we are doing the show if we're still doing it in 2012.
It'll be great. I mean, I'll, you know, just be like, hey, guys, it's all over. And, you know, my wife's really mad at me. It's the end of the world and I'm doing the show. Didn't spend it with her. But seriously.
Hellfire and brimstone falling from the sky.
Zell. my boy, Mark. He sends me a private message. It says ASL. Like it's AOL, the age, sex, language.
Nice.
Well, awesome.
Tell him, Bill. He's
that's okay. All right.
You seem to have a lot.
I'm
of
sorry.
Free time.
It's age. It's age, sex, location.
Right.
It's been so long since I was on AOL.
I'm just fascinated.
I love that guy. I want that guy to call in next week. But
Zell is definitely made of win.
Hey, Bill. 1-206-202-3491.
Yes,
that's a voicemail number.
Yeah,
I'm going to start giving it out every 5 minutes on the show.
Awesome. And last DVD of the week. And did I say these DVDs are for July 14th, 2009? Sorry.
Yes.
But now you did.
Yeah,
now
I did. Van Wilder, freshman year.
What the hell, man? Why
yes,
do you
because
making
Van
these?
Wilder was such an important movie.
The Rise of Taj, month. I thought it was all over, but another one's coming.
They had to go back and recast Van Wilder and do another one.
Oh.
I mean, come on, they had to do the Naked Mile and all the other stupid American Pie ones.
Yeah, apparently there's a market for it, you know?
Yeah, I have no idea who's doing that.
They got cockadoos.
Exactly. That's on the only
DVDs.
That's only on the unrated version, though. They got the cockadoos. All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
Those are for unrated eyes only.
Oh, and by the way, do you have a pick for Rick to review this week? Which one of these flicks do you want Rick to review? How about the Van Wilder one? No,
yes.
I can do that too.
Yes, Van Wilder, freshman year. Please tell us about the dog that has flatulence that I'm sure they'll put in there again.
Oh, dogs farting is always comic gold.
Didn't that dog have, like, gigantic balls or something?
Holy balls!
Yeah, there you go.
Awesome. All right, Bill. Thanks a lot.
Blackanese, I'm Blasian, if you will.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the meal.
To do things.
I love Blaname.
The bartender's trying to turn out the lights.
Well, maybe it is time we call it a night.
Hell, we'll wake up the roosters if we drank them real slow.
Well, let's have a double and a six-pack to go. We're barroom buddies, and that's the best kind. Nobody fools with a buddy of mine.
I laugh when you're happy, and I cry when you're blue.
Sorry, just vomiting in my mouth.
Hey!
I love Clint Eastwood, but please don't sing. Gran Torino, it kind of worked because it was poignant and everything, but God damn, man.
He doesn't even sound like he's with the same room with the guy. He's like,
no.
He's just reading from a piece of paper.
Yeah, he's got a script, and he's just like, shit, I really got to do this?
Hey, Clint, those soundtracks, they sell. That's like,
he
all
had
right.
The same reaction when he heard he had to do a movie with a monkey.
All right, everybody, that was episode 170. Oh, my God, over here. What the hell?
Cock-a-doo.
We gotta put some fondant on that 170. And...
Yeah, you know, this show had everything.
They got cockadoos.
Yeah, we had cockadoos. We had...
We had a lot of free time.
We had a lot of free time. We had all sorts of stuff. What else did we have?
Lesbians.
Yeah! But if you would like to call and leave us a voicemail, call 1-206-202-3491. Also, go to nowhereinmulberry.com, nimlive.com, NIMLIVE. You will find a link to Mulberry Old School. Listen to all of our old episodes. And Adam, he gave me some suggestions to a lot of old shows, titles, and I love them. And as soon as I find free time, I'm going to do that. I don't have the free time.
You have nothing
Jason,
but.
You seem to have a lot of
No,
time.
I don't. That's what I just said, dude. My God.
Yeah, I know you want your privacy or whatever, but.
But
I love that. I know you want your privacy or whatever. Like, it's totally not important to me.
Like,
so,
what do you do?
But answer me anyway.
Yeah.
But also, I want you guys to go to our forum and sign up and give us comments. You know, Bill, have you noticed there's been a couple of people who've never commented on our shows before that have been in there?
That is funny. I was like, oh, hey, who,
and you
who
know
is
what?
That?
You know, I was going by Facebook by how many people were in our book club, but there's a lot more that I didn't know about that just aren't on Facebook, and I think that's awesome. So if you want to, you know, comment on the Gunslinger show about the book, go to our forum and sign up and leave us a comment, because I really want to know what other people thought of the book.
Hit up the forum. We're giving away free cockadoos.
Oh, yeah, free cockadoos. It's awesome.
Joke.
What? What?
Holy balls!
Yeah, I don't know. I've lost control, Bill. But, hey, there was no True Blood last week, so there'll be one this Sunday. Can't wait to talk about that next week. Won't that be exciting? And maybe we talk about the Harry Potter. No, I won't have seen it yet, but I'll see it on Saturday or something like that.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter!
A great big bushy beard.
Yeah, Dumbledore has one of those, doesn't he, Bill?
He does. He's a badass.
How do people have beards like that? Because if I just don't shave for like 2 weeks, oh, it's so itchy and drives me nuts.
I know. I can't stand it.
How could you have hair long enough where you could braid that shit on your face?
Yeah, like the ZZ Top guys. And...
Yeah, what the hell's that?
It does not please my double chin.
Sounds wrong.
Can't hide it with some beard, can you?
No, you can hide it. It just hurts.
No, you can do that Harry Knowles thing where you just have it like on your jawline and down.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
What do they call it? Like
You know what? If I'm fat, I'm fat, okay?
You have a neck beard.
Hide it.
Where it's just on your neck, but your face is like clean shaven.
Oh, that's disgusting.
He looks like a friggin' gigantic red-headed leprechaun from hell
he
or
does.
Something.
He's a leprechaun!
The one that always freaks me out, the guy's with a shaved head with sideburns.
Something to me?
Oh, yeah, I know. It's like that Daltrey guy or whatever his name is. Like, dude, you're bald. Why the hell do you have friggin' sideburns? It looks friggin' retarded. You look like a friggin' moron over there.
I know. I love those guys that have a bald head and then sideburns.
They got a bald head, but then an accoutrement of sideburns.
You got it ass backwards.
The accoutrement doesn't work in this case.
I know. What the hell? It's like...
Grow a full beard, you know, at least...
Wouldn't it be the same thing as you've got no eyebrows, but you have a mustache? It's like, what the hell? What happened to your friggin' eyebrows fell down to your lip or something? What the hell? Your unibrow fell down to your lip over there.
That sounds scary.
Okay. Before you get excited,
no eyebrows but a mustache. I mean,
yeah,
how weird
but it's
that,
the same
that,
thing.
That,
no hair, sideburns.
People that
how's that work?
People that go bald, but they can still grow hair on their face.
You know my favorite. My favorite Death Wish 3.
Why don't
Bill?
They just comb their eyebrows up under the head?
When you say in Death Wish 3, Fracker has a reverse mohawk.
Yes, he does have a reverse mohawk
because the front of his head, the middle of his hair is shaved.
Yeah. But he has that paint stripe right down the middle, too, to try and fool
you. That accents it, that red paint stripe.
That's like his war paint. It shows that bastard means business, you know?
Yeah.
That guy's
very
scary.
Tribal.
The only thing that could truly kill him is a bazooka.
At close range.
Yeah. You know that song Rocket Man?
That's you. You're the Rocket Man. You know, I know I've already mentioned this a million times, but seriously, in Death Wish 3, Fracker is in a friggin' building with Paul Kersey. The whole gang, everybody is outside. They don't know what's going on. There's an explosion. They all throw down their guns and they give up. They somehow know in the depth of their very soul that Fracker just died.
Well, you know what?
They're all gang Jedi.
They're all like, I just felt a loss.
A loss in the Force.
Yeah.
My God, Fracker just died.
It's like, there he is. And they show his ghost rising up to heaven. Then all of a sudden he stops and goes straight down through the ground. Oh, he's going straight to hell.
Oh, it's like in Ghost where the shadows come up out of the ground.
Bill, you're right. Those were shadow people.
They like horrible matte paintings.
You know the funniest part about
shadow person.
The shadow people in Ghost, they go like this.
When I was a kid and I saw that movie, they scared me shitless. Now I see it and I laugh my ass off.
I'm like, did they think of this like 5 minutes after the movie was done? They're like, dude, we got to add some shadow people. But we don't have nothing. We don't have voices. No, like, give me a mic.
Here's one for you. Well, you make the same noise.
Let's just cut out some black cray paper.
Hey, what the hell are those things dragging Tony Goldwyn away? What the hell's going on here? You know what? They're not called shadow people, though. There is a technical word for it.
They got cockadoos.
Yeah, they're called cockadoos.
They're the evil cockadoos.
The evil cockadoos.
The evil shadow cockadoos.
They got bushy beards over there. And you know what else they got?
You seem to have a lot
of free time.
They're just hanging out waiting for people to die.
I wish, Bill.
Lots of lesbians. Lesbians.
Ah, good times. All right, that's a wrap. All right, everybody, see you next week. Have a good one. And, Bill, let's go. I've got lots of free time. We're going to play Battlefield. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, let's do it.
We had a fabulous night. Do you love it?
Yes.
Oh. Wow, that voice. Remind me anytime I run into her to get a ball gag.
I love the accoutrement with all of the sea stuff.
I'm just fascinated.
I rise above that shit.